This week in Comics Talk Comedy, we have Dustin Nickerson in studio. We talk about becoming a Christian, how it is to perform clean, and where he'd like to see himself go in the future now that he has a family. Check it out.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago, there were lots of people. That's all I wanted to say. And they start to sing, and the lyrics are so inane, it sounds like they're making them up as they go along. She's cold as ice. Paradise. And the feeling was so nice.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. We got Jesse in studio. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. Nice to see you, man.
Yeah, we haven't done this one in a month.
It's weird. It's weird to be back in our old digs here at KCBQ, 1170 AM, Intelligent Talk Radio.
Yeah, the last one we had was Sal Viesca, and that was like December 12th or something like that.
So long ago. That was a different year.
Yeah.
2013. We have moved on.
You know how to do it without Sam?
I know how to do it with Sam or without Sam.
Okay.
I prefer when Sam's in the room when I'm doing it. I'll
extra
say that
weed
now.
You smoked today before this one.
Extra
right?
Weed?
Yeah. Listen. On the normal dose?
There's a recommended daily dose.
Okay.
You need 8 glasses a day.
You hit it. Hit it hard.
It's nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
You have a good show at the Wood tonight?
It was fun.
Tell me about it.
I always feel a weird vibe before I go up there. I don't know. I feel extra a little bit nervous.
Shows you feel nervous?
Well, I mean, I always think it's going to go extra worse than most shows.
Okay.
Just because,
But the track record so far has been it's gone well every time, right?
Yeah, but every show I think is going to go bad.
But this one more.
Yeah,
more
because so. A, they're all good looking.
They're all good looking girls.
B, the lights are all on.
The lights are on.
C, you got to walk through them after, you know? So if you eat shit, you got to just see their sadness in their eyes. So, and then I follow the guy that does this talk show. Well, I don't think he's done comedy in years.
Kaplan went on?
Yes, Kaplan went on.
He got a guest spot?
Yeah.
Nelson got him on.
Yeah. So he did about 7 minutes about getting masturbated.
Yeah.
Shaving his balls.
Kaplan.
Yeah.
Kaplan style.
So.
You guys watch that show, Kaplan at Night? Isn't it? What is it? UT. I was on it. Boom.
I was not on it.
You know what the whole show is? He masturbates the
yeah.
whole show.
People, his minions shave his balls.
It's a good show.
Yeah. So, no, it was... And then Josh tried to do a joke and totally forgot the punchline at the
end.
He
did? Yeah. Kaplan just stole the thunder from the room. And then you had to go up after?
Yeah.
Did you follow Kaplan?
Well, I mean, Josh went up after him as the host and tried to do a joke but forgot the punchline.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, all right, let's bring up Jeff Pluto.
Uh-huh. Nice.
So it was already digging myself out, but I think I did fine.
Okay.
I don't know. It's
crowd work?
Yeah, I did some crowd work. It's just tough for me to remember 15 minutes.
Really?
You know, because I'm so used to doing 8 to 10.
Yeah.
You know, I have, like I said, I can do whatever.
Mm.
But it's like, once you get off the plan when you're doing crowd work, getting to back, I revert back to a lot of my old jokes at that point.
After doing crowd work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I did try some new jokes that worked. You know, the ball gag thing worked.
Oh, good.
So
I like the ball gag.
It's figuring that out.
It's a funny bit.
So I had some stuff that worked. You know, it wasn't all old stuff. I think it was a good mixture.
Who went on after you?
Sarah Tiana.
Oh, so you featured for Sarah Tiana.
Yeah. So.
And then, you know, I was saying to someone, I love that bit she does where she describes in detail all the reasons why she wouldn't date someone exactly like me.
Like you.
Yeah.
So you think she's speaking to you?
I feel I can identify with it. She's like, and then if you have shit on your passenger seat and you got to move it for me to sit there, I won't date you. And I'm like, bam, another one right off the list.
You wear Skechers, don't you?
No, I don't wear Skechers. Is that one of her things?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one in my corner. Don't wear Skechers.
And then you did...
Oh, she's a New Balance man.
You did the
store? I mean, woman. She's actually a man.
You did the store?
Yeah, I did the store tonight.
How was that?
It was fun. It was a weird crowd. They were like showing up late and stuff, and then... there was like this heckler lady from Chicago. And so I said, Chicago, that's the Wendy mouth. And then I called her Wendy from that point on. And I did mostly crowd work. It was very fun.
What time was your spot?
Like 8:45.
Okay.
Pretty creamy.
Yeah. I had asked for a spot before 9 and they put me up at 9:10. So I was like, whatever.
Oh.
I was debating whether or not I wanted to go anyways. But then when I heard I was getting a 9:10 spot, I was like, no. Not driving out there.
Not doing it.
No.
Don't you know who I am?
I'll be there tomorrow, but
yeah, I'll come up tomorrow. So, should we bring in our guests?
What, first, I want to bring in your Facebook page blew up today.
Oh, boy. Well, we can talk about it as a group.
All right. Well, let's bring in our guest from very famous. He's a right-hand man for Spotless Comedy. You can check him every first Friday at the Space Bar. He's been called the La Mesa Mayor, or the Mayor of La Mesa.
La Mayor.
La Mayor.
Yeah.
Please welcome, everybody, Dustin Nickerson.
Well, hello, hello. Thank you.
You got to be somewhat close to the mic. You can adjust it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go a little closer.
Good to see you, man.
I was just a little too comfy. Good to see you guys as well.
Fantastic hat on.
Yeah, thank you.
For our listeners.
Jason Parmenter would be very happy with his hat.
Yes, it is a Seahawks
I'm a Seahawks
hat.
Fan, but I'm not like a have-a-tattoo-level Seahawk fan. I don't...
No, you would never have a tattoo, but you would wear something with a
I wouldn't have any tattoo
on top of it.
But especially... I mean, this fits my personality a little more.
A green pom-pom on the top of that.
For a Secret Santa gift, this is pretty fantastic, yeah?
What did you buy them?
I got the person, it was, you know, they did the thing where they have some suggestions and, it was somebody else. I got them, a favorite candy bar of theirs and some arts and crafts supplies because that's what they liked. Yeah.
But you have a 7-year-old?
Yeah.
Is that what you had?
You had Secret candy Santa. And arts and crafts. My 6-year-old
son. You play Secret
son.
Santa at home with your children is what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You have children?
I do. I have two and one more on the way.
Wow.
Ah, nice.
And coming in 5 weeks.
Have you named it yet?
Claire.
In utero?
Claire.
Claire in utero.
Yeah.
It's a nice name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean.
So I guess we could talk about what happened on your page. Did you see what happened on Jesse's?
Yeah, this is a, let's go from my pregnant wife to your Facebook page.
Right.
That is a
let's
very
talk
natural
about important
segue.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Let's
not
get
about
back
you
to Jesse's
constantly procreating with your wife. Procreating, I said?
No, procreating.
Procreating. Yeah. I just had another person come up to me today and say, are you the Jesse from San Diego that always calls in to Howard Stern? I'm like, no, why?
This happens multiple times?
Yes, this is like fifth time this has happened.
Wait a minute, you're not?
And they say, oh, because I was going to say, I'm not real proud of you, man. I was just like, thanks. It's not me. It's someone else. And they're like, yeah, well, it sounds like you. I'm like, what? Fuck you. It doesn't... It's not me. It doesn't. Does he sound like me also? I mean, I don't even know.
I don't know. Does,
anyway.
He does a lot of Eskimo jokes on Howard Stern. Is that what he does? Is that why they think it's you?
Let's see how it's going to be.
So you were actually very angry. That was angry for you.
Well, I was just annoyed because this has happened multiple times now. Every time I turn around, it seems like somebody's asking me, are you that guy?
Did you identify the other Jesse? Did you tag the other Jesse?
Yeah, I just said, no, it's for, you know, all I said was, I've been asked this multiple times now, if anyone's wondering, I'm not the Jesse from San Diego. It's Jesse Switzer. So please, you know,
take your wrath out on him.
Please talk to him about what he does on Howard Stern every single day, I guess.
But it seems like it's working out for him. He got some tickets to the Howard Stern bash.
He's gotten more out of it than I have. All I get is grief.
Does he use it as a credit? Does he say Howard Stern?
I don't know. He should.
I haven't seen him since I told him.
Is it on his website? Do we got to?
Anyway, but I overreacted because I said, I hate you. And, I don't hate him. I don't hate him. And so that was excessive. But at the time, I felt like I hated him.
How do you feel about it now?
I don't feel hate at all.
No.
No.
No, I'm fine with it.
Would you have dinner with him?
Would I have on the Howard Stern show? Absolutely.
No, would you and Jesse Switzer have dinner to squash the beef?
When do you do that? Is that what you do with men?
We squash beef with dinner?
No, that's
what's on the menu is squash and beef.
Squash and beef is what we're going to have for dinner?
I'm just, sure, I want to get you guys to
no,
be.
Listen, okay. I have no problem with the guy.
What if on Friday someone asks you again?
Ask me again. What would I do?
Yeah.
I might freak out again. I might freak out again.
All right.
But I won't post it publicly anymore because there's no point in that.
Well, why don't you just...
He doesn't intend to... You know, he's... And I get it now. I thought about it. I was like, why can't he just be like Switzer from San Diego or Jesse Switzer? He explained, you know, you got to go by their first name and where you're from. And he's always gone by that. And at this point, he feels like he's cultivated like a character. You know, this is his life is calling it Howard Stern. They know him over there. He doesn't want to switch anything.
Does he say he's a comic? I don't. I'm not familiar.
I'm not sure, but you know what? More power to him. He's probably got more fans than I'll ever have. So, honestly, you know.
So you should be proud to be Jesse from San Diego.
This could be good.
Yeah, this could. You could introduce yourself. People wouldn't know. You know, he's getting this next guy. You might recognize him from Howard Stern show. Jesse from San Diego, and then you can go up. People will know you.
Use a fake credit.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Well,
I'm trying to give you a credit, bro.
Right. Thanks.
Taylor and Howard Stern are all buddy-buddy now, right? Just have Taylor clear it up with Howard. Just go straight to the source.
Taylor Williamson?
Yeah, right? Aren't they a buddy-buddy now?
I'm sure they are. Yeah. Taylor Williamson would have won the whole thing if it hadn't been for Jesse Switzer. He said, you're Jesse from San Diego and you're comic from San Diego? You don't win.
Yeah.
Second place.
That's too bad.
Yeah, so, no, I got no problem with him. It's just, you know. Figured, why not post and let people know? I'm not that person. So
right.
It's another Jesse. Well, I wonder if Jesse Yepes gets it too. I wonder if people ask him that.
I don't know.
But anyway, maybe he doesn't sound like him. I guess I sound.
Another
like
big hot topic this week in San Diego comedy was they announced this. Well, they haven't announced who the local showcase or who's in the contest, have they?
I guess they haven't publicly posted. Dustin, or do you know more about that?
I don't know a ton. I got the email saying that I'm in the clean showcase. I tried to get in. There's a clean, and then there's the San Diego local one,
mm-hmm.
and I made it into the clean showcase. How many applicants? I don't know.
Right. Did you have to say that I'm submitting for the clean showcase?
Yeah. There were different little – it was like two different applications, so I applied for both and got into the clean one.
Okay, cool.
I don't know that you could get into both, but I figured my odds were better of getting in. There would be less. The pool would be a little smaller of the clean one.
I think they have a blue show, too, don't they?
I think they might have ditched the blue show.
Oh.
Really?
But I don't know.
There's just 75 entries from Tommy Lucero.
Tommy Lucero's crushed right now. He's like, blue show, and I got this whole waffle bit. It's perfect.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a ton about that. I ignored all the Brandon and Dan have done that.
Right. You ignore Brandon.
Nowhere in this one. Brandon and I fight regularly.
Really?
No.
You guys throw holy water at each other?
Yes. That's because that's what Christians do. We just have the holy water.
Do?
And we say the power of Christ compels
you.
Do you
wave the cross at both of each other? Just like, I'm more.
The smoke thing.
Did you submit?
I did. I did submit. I submitted for that the local.
Did you get in?
I did.
Hey, congratulations, sure.
What's your date? Can people check you out?
Are you going to come check me out? What about you? Are you in?
Nah.
You didn't apply, right?
No.
Oh, you.
Nah.
But you did actually submit a bunch of times, if I remember correctly.
I guess now that...
Didn't you submit over and over and over again?
Yes, what's the story?
As certain comics?
I submitted for other comics.
Mm-hmm. Not for yourself, though.
On behalf of other comics.
There was one comic that I sent upwards of 7 to 8 times.
You sent different videos?
Yes.
Different... Each one was a different video that you sent?
Yes. And one
Do you
was,
know if they got in or not?
I don't think so. Because I kind of blew my cover the other day when they were looking
and
at
you
it.
Told, oh, and Brandon and Bublitz are both like, that's why we got so many.
Yeah, he goes, I thought this guy just forgot that he submitted. But no.
Seven times?
Does this person know that you did this for them?
No.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, I bet you got that person into some part of that festival, right?
Yeah. So, no, I submitted for a lot of people to the point where they weren't sure if those people actually submitted or I made it up.
Wow.
So
Why didn't you submit? Are you opposed to the festival or you just didn't want to be in it?
I did submit and I'm in it.
Okay.
But I don't like
so many lies right now.
It's a web of lies.
I don't like to
What's
say
truth
I'm in
anymore?
It when I don't see it on the thing.
Right.
Like they tell you to post it on Facebook, but I don't see anywhere that my name is on it. So I don't want to put that I'm on it.
Until you're confirmed that you
see
it in writing.
I need to see it in writing.
Maybe they should post and tag everyone in it.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't done that.
If they want to drum up some excitement, get everyone going.
I think,
hey, I'm.
Have
I made
they finalized the main showcase or the main actual competition? Are you guys in the on the main stage one? Or are you in the San Diego one?
I'm in the contest one.
Oh, great!
Oh, you did the contest too.
Yeah, I did the contest.
Whoa!
Big time, man!
And the local showcase, you can do both.
You can submit for both. Yes, I'm doing the 30th and 31st.
Wow. Ooh,
are my dates. 30th is the local, and 31st is the contest for me.
So is it a local contest and a main contest?
I think there's only one.
Local, I think, is a showcase.
Yeah, everything else is a showcase. And just the main stage one is
a contest. But
going back with the contest.
I hate contests. I'm doing it.
And you paid money to enter contest.
$40, right?
$35.
And you're doing this new San Diego's Funniest Person number 4.
Don't remind me. God.
You're just a contest guy nowadays.
I hate him. I'm so stressed out about it.
I can't believe you paid to enter a contest. I would never do that. That just seems too much.
You did, didn't you? Wasn't it like $10 or to do the showcase in one?
The local
that was
one.
Free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, I'm just giving money to anyone to get into any contest.
Brandon told me, he told me what to do, so I did it.
Your manager. Got in because you know Brandon.
Brandon's your manager.
No, Brandon wasn't one of the people screening the videos for getting people in.
That's what they say.
What video did you send?
I sent an Ice House.
Comedy Time.
Boots and Cats?
Yeah.
I like it.
He told me that the screeners said it was, rated highly. So he was not the deciding factor.
Oh, I know. But he had some pull. I don't think there's...
Listen, I hope so.
Brandon's got some influence.
I fucking hope so. If somebody has some pull, I wish they would help me. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
So, thank God.
He helped you get the Comedy Time spot too, right?
He did send video to Jan.
He got the contact from me and then sent it to
you. Did it first.
You guys.
Right.
Well, other San Diego guys had done it before me, but I feel like I started the next round of them because... I did it, and then you, and then Dan recently did it. And then
I was supposed to do it. I just didn't go.
Yeah.
See?
And Brandon's doing it next month, I think.
Did you think you had to pay $35 to do it?
gas, you pretty much pay $35.
They gave you, it was raining. Didn't you get like $25 or something like that? Like, it helped.
They did give you $25, yeah.
And there was a nice plate of cheeses and crackers.
My thing about it
is Coke Zeros.
Some Coke Zeros and some bottled
water.
Like
I said, I always think I'm going to do terrible. So if you do have a terrible set, you have this 8 minutes of material that you don't own.
I don't think they put it up online if it's terrible, usually.
The show that I did, I haven't seen everybody who went up that night.
Yeah,
I've looked at the
same
clips.
Here. Not everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was like five of the eight, maybe?
And I don't think everybody makes it onto the show either because they have their YouTube channel, which has a bunch of subscribers, but then they package it as an actual show and then send it out to various places. So, like, Noel's got a couple credits, I think, from it when he did it a while back.
Really?
Yeah. Like, because it's a show that's on Hulu.
Yeah, somebody told me they'd seen me on Hulu or something.
Yeah, that show is on Hulu.
Like, yeah, I saw you.
They haven't updated it in a while. Yeah.
You were on this thing, and I was like, really?
So you're Jesse from Hulu.
I'm Jesse Switzer from Hulu.
That's nice. You've seen him on Hulu.
You know me from the Hulu Stern Show.
Hulu.
It's a great show.
I call in every week.
Yeah, man.
So that's exciting. That's the business.
You know what, though, I was thinking about it? Like, a contest like that, which I really do hate because it gets me so nervous and anxious about it, hopefully will also motivate me to write more new stuff and to really, like, be focused with it. You know what I mean? Where a lot of times I'm just like, I just do it for fun. I want it to be fun. And the contests are just so not fun.
What are the prizes for that? Do you know?
I don't know.
Which one?
I don't know.
The contest?
I
know the Madhouse one. It's like 1,000 and then 1,000 in paid work. And pretty much the same
similar
as
the last one.
But not at other places. It's all at the Madhouse.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Robert said it was too much work to get all the other spots.
I get that. Definitely.
But do you know what the San Diego Festival one is?
I don't actually. Do you know, Dustin?
I thought it was prize money too.
Is there prize money?
I think so. Yeah, I don't remember though. I didn't enter the main one, so I wasn't really paying.
I think Zoltan's in it. So
that guy.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like a silver medal.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
It's still cool to get into a festival that you had to pay money. You feel like you got your money's worth.
It'll be my first festival.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys with credits or at least writing credits and stuff that are in the main competition.
Supposedly.
I just don't know why they haven't released those people yet.
I don't know. You could ask.
Probably not finalized.
Maybe we should bring them on here and interrogate them.
No, they've already both been on twice. Enough's enough.
Brandon told me he would pay me a quarter every time I mentioned his name. So
is that right?
Yeah.
He went as high as a quarter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go through this and edit it because I don't want you getting in a bucket of quarters.
Listen.
All right. It's different when we don't have to take breaks. We can just
I like it
kinda,
much better.
Kind of goof off.
Yeah, I'm sure. How long have we been going already? It is weird, you know.
21 minutes.
To
well, 19
breaks,
minutes because you dicked off with the first two that
all right,
I had to
what
take
if
out.
I could, can I, you should use some of that. I could maybe do that now for us if we want to.
What's that?
Do you ever listen to the other podcast, the Saturday one?
I haven't. It's newer, right? Heard, I've listened to the traditional one.
It's got some sweet, like, bumps in there.
Oh, no, no. I've listened to, I listened to last week's with, Heather, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I listened to that one, because I hadn't listened to the podcast in a little bit. So I wanted
oh,
to
yeah,
refresh.
Josh Nelson told me he listened to that one, then he went and listened to two others, and he liked them a lot. So.
Mm. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude. Is he still in, Spotless Panda Up? Is he in?
I don't.
The All-Star still?
I think he's an All-Star.
He is an All-Star.
Yeah, I'm not. I get tagged as being an All-Star a lot, but it's just because I was helping with the Spotless shows, but we're not really doing those much anymore.
Right.
But we're doing them a lot less.
I'm like a bench guy. You know? Like somebody broke their leg, send in Egan. That
it's
kind of
fair.
Thing.
Well, you did the Madhouse on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah, that was really fun. With Jason Collings.
Collings.
How'd he
it
do?
Is Collings with a G.
No, I don't think
it
so.
It is Collings.
I think it's Jason Collins.
Collings. Look it up. You got a computer.
That doesn't, no one said, it's not Collings.
It is. I remember thinking that's weird. C-O-L-L-I-N-G-S.
I know how it's spelled, but I don't think you call it Collings.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Even though it says Collings?
No, but that's with an A. It's Collins.
Collins?
I have no strong opinion on this, Sam.
Well, it's definitely spelled C-O-L-L-I-N-G-S. And
I think Jeff's already agreed to that.
Okay. All right. Well, then. Never mind. So that we just
Jeff, but it's
is it
spelled.
It's a silent G, is what you're saying?
Most of the time, they are silent in those names.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Luckily, I didn't have to introduce them. That was Adam Connie's job.
Ah, he gets on a lot of shows nowadays. You start booking Second Wind and you get some pull around town.
If you take our comedy
Point
class,
yell,
big things will happen.
I know. Got another class and we're going to have like four people. It's going to be fun.
I think that's going to be
I should check if Tony's even changed the website yet. No. I guarantee he hasn't.
No, there's no way. Tony's got a tough job. Apparently he has to do all the work over there at the palace. They've remodeled the palace now. Yeah. They got a big marquee out front.
Yeah.
They got a... They got
they switched up the bar area quite
TVs
a bit. Some LED lights.
Oh yeah, it's almost a real palace at this point. It's the nicest palace in Kearny Mesa.
There are many great rulers that would have been very satisfied with that as their palace.
Great Greek legend.
Yeah.
Nope, hasn't changed the website.
No, he's not going
to
do that.
And we were supposed to have an orientation this Saturday too, which
right.
probably won't happen.
That probably won't happen.
God, how bad are you at business?
Well, maybe you have to remind him. He's got too much on his plate. That's all. He's got a lot.
He's got
a lot
hummus. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Way to go.
Who could get the joke out first?
Then get it out. I mean, not deviate. Is that the word?
Delegate.
Delegate.
What does deviate mean?
Deviate means
go away from.
Go off the path.
Well,
deviate is what he does when we ask him for a check.
Yeah, I know.
He deviates out of the building.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Egan.
No, that's not probably the right usage anyway, but... You know, Tony's got a lot of work to do, man. He's got nobody helping him right there. And
then get somebody to help you.
You know, he's got to do it.
Stop making excuses for the man.
Yeah.
So anyways, hey, we got Dustin Nickerson in here.
Yeah, Dustin
you know?
Is here with us
indeed
tonight. This is your first time?
Indeed, first time on the podcast.
Have you ever done a podcast before?
I have done podcasts before.
Which podcast?
I have done my own that we were doing for a little while, me and some friends, and then realized that we didn't really like doing podcasts anymore. It was too much work.
Yeah.
And that's it.
What was your podcast about?
It was, the basic premise of this podcast was a couple of coworkers, three guys talking about non-work things while at work. So it was a couple coworkers get together and talk about
even the description is
movies
boring,
and music. Yeah. I get kind of bored just talking about it now, actually.
What did your office feel about you doing that?
Well, we didn't do it. On the clock. Are we in your office right now doing the exact same thing?
Well, I'm not on the clock. Yeah. I thought you meant you did it.
He's on the clock at midnight.
No. It was, it was three friends at work talking about movies and sports and just the things that we talked about.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Do you have many listeners?
We did. The first couple that we had probably like 100, 150 listens and stuff. And then we just
realized
it was a lot of
work. Shout out. What's the name?
I'm trying to remember what it was called. That's not a good
sign.
Dustin
and Buddies talk about sports and work.
What was it called? We had some ridiculous name for it. I'm not going to remember.
Nothing. You didn't have any religious podcast? No Lordcast?
No religious. if you're a Christian, is it required that you do religious podcasts?
Yeah, Lordcast. Doesn't that help? Isn't that a good thing to do? You're like, hey, even in my spare time, Lord.
Yeah, I've listened to podcasts.
Even in my spare time, Lord.
Lord, L-A-W-D, Lord.
Lord.
So you all collectively said, hey, we're not good at doing podcasts.
It was more, actually, I listened to the podcast a couple of times, and I think it was fairly enjoyable because it was the things that, like when you and I sit and talk about comic books.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the whole
pointing
idea.
He's pointing to Jesse just so.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Dustin and I like to get together.
When Jesse and I talk.
We
talk
actually
about comic
read
books.
Comics together. I look at the pictures. He reads the words to me.
It's a really special memory.
Yeah. He sits on your lap.
Yeah.
He sits or vice versa.
Strong quads.
We flip for it. And a lot of times he loses. And
it's about 50% of the time.
Yeah. And then for some reason we read the comic book much faster those days.
That's nice. But,
we just stopped doing it because we just got busy and worked.
How long ago was this?
Like 6 months ago.
Oh, so it's pretty recently.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing comedy now?
A year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, I did my first open mic 2 Augusts ago. What was that? August 2012.
All right.
Yeah.
What got you on stage?
It was kind of like just something I always wanted to do. I grew up like in love with stand-up comedy. Watched a lot of it and was always like intrigued and fascinated by it. And
what were your favorites back then?
I really like when I was like I remember being like 10. And watching an old Dana Carvey HBO special, Critics' Choice.
Was that the Choppin' Broccoli?
Yeah, and my email address, my first email address was choppinbroccoli1 at juno.com. That's my first, because there was one other Choppin' Broccoli, so I had to be Choppin' Broccoli 1.
That was a great bit.
But I was 10, and it was 1994, and so it's stuff on like OJ and Clinton, and it's all over my head, but yeah. I just found it amazing that he was standing up and doing these voices and these characters, yeah. Which is nothing
was
like how
I
do comedy.
That one?
Dude, he does everything.
Right.
Carvey like does the, he apparently he still does it because he still does Vegas and he's doing more and more stand up again now. But does piano, guitar, the voices, pure stand up. He does a lot.
Weren't you a fan
so.
Of that one?
Yeah. Well, I remember I had it on VHS.
Yeah.
I recorded it.
You're familiar then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked him because I liked SNL.
Oh
no.
Yeah. Me too. So, but I didn't even though he did stand up, then I saw that special.
Yeah, randomly. Same thing. I knew him from Saturday Night Live, and then that kind of almost like, because I knew Saturday Night Live before I knew stand up comedy was a thing.
Right.
And then, because it was originally on HBO, but then it used to run on Comedy Central. And so, like in that, it was kind of, Comedy Central would run like a different 22 minute, you know, little Comedy Central presents like every night, it seemed like. So I was watching quite a few and just kind of got hooked on it.
Yeah.
Thinking you were going to do comedy or just
no, I just really liked it, you know? Okay. Like, I'm newer to comedy, but I'm not new to public speaking, so the idea of being on a stage or whether it's through, like because I was a youth pastor for a while, so I would do that, or just public speaking in school. Or
now, what is a youth pastor?
Pastor is the one who pastors the youth. So you have a church, and there's usually a lead pastor. He's the guy who stands up on a Sunday.
Pastor is like a priest, am I right?
Yes and no. Catholic versus Protestant there.
It's a rabbi?
It's a rabbi. Rabbi.
Everyone's in a mosque, am I right?
Yeah. Your pastor essentially has his main jobs are to preach to the people and then to care for them and counsel and those kind of things.
There's nobody above the pastor, right?
Just Jesus.
Okay.
Just Jesus.
But pastors can get married, though, right?
Yes. Pastors can get married.
Bonus round.
Bonus, yeah. We're not priests.
Oh, that's right, because you, okay.
None of the sacraments
so
or
the
smoke show or anything
Catholic,
like that.
Priests are Catholic, and they cannot get married.
Yes. I believe so. I'm not an expert on Catholicism, but
no, they get a bit. They can't. Yeah. I'm not either, but I'm pretty sure.
But you're from the East Coast, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Right.
So you were a youth pastor. Does that mean you were their youth, or you talked to the youth?
So I would speak to the youth. Mm-hmm. I would like lead the group, and
we're trying to bring. Were you doing observational humor about Jesus at this time?
All teenage humor. You know, high school, huh? Yeah, it was. No, I mean, I would do the Bible studies and stuff like that. And
how old were the youths?
I did junior high and high school, and then after that, I actually then oversaw the big kids ministry, which is where they all would come and gather on a Sunday. I worked at a really big church in Seattle, 15,000 people.
15,000
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it was a crazy mega church. And
wait a minute, not all in one.
No, spread out between different
you guys met at a football campus. Field. And
we did on Easter one year. Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I've gone the complete opposite direction in my.
Did you preach a sermon and then kick a field goal?
No,
there.
No, they didn't have
15,000.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
You really do some damage with that many people.
Damage?
Well, you know,
you could riot a city. For the Lord.
So what brought you to San Diego then?
I came down to San Diego because I had a friend who I knew from Seattle. We went to church together there, and then we went to school together at the University of Washington. And then he came down here and was starting a church plant, so just starting a new church. And it was in the college area, and I knew him from up there and said he essentially just invited us down.
And so you were already married at this time?
Oh, yeah, married with two kids. So this was we've only been in Seattle or San Diego for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
And a year into being here, less than a year is when I started doing stand-up. And it was just, it was me and a couple friends had always talked about the idea of doing it, and so finally I just looked up. I just literally just Googled open mics in San Diego. The Madhouse one is the one that was convenient and went out. And
how did the wife feel about moving?
She was on board. It was kind of fun and adventurous.
Is she a Christian or whatever you
are? She is, yes. Whatever you are.
What is the specific?
We're diving into holy matters here, everybody.
What's the specific
denomination?
Yes, thank you.
We are non-denominational Christians. In other words, not a part of a denominational church like Baptist or Presbyterians or.
What's the Rock Church?
It would be a non-denominational church as well.
You fuck around with the Rock Church?
Whoa,
that's B Young.
They don't say that.
That's Brandon.
Keep it spotless.
That's where he is he's
a rocker,
and his wife works there, I believe.
Okay, why don't you go there?
That's not the church we came down to join and to help out and be a part of. So I was kind of over the big church scene.
Okay.
We have a really small community church right now. We meet in homes. It's very different than meeting in football stadiums. Yeah. I kind of went the complete opposite direction of
Is what the
I
Rock
thought.
Church like a big,
Yeah, Rock's pretty big.
They rock?
Yeah, they rock rocks.
They have big shows and stuff like that?
They put on big comedy shows there. I know that, yeah. Michael Jr. You guys know Michael Jr.?
I heard of the name. He's a black guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Clean.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Michael Jr. has an interesting story in that
his name, Michael Jr.? That's
yeah. I mean, he's done most of the late night shows Michael and Jr. did Montreal Jr.? And stuff like that. And then he just does a lot of churches now.
Cool. I mean, I'm sure that's a good gig.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Were you always set on being a clean comedian?
Yes. Yes.
Affirmative.
Yeah, I mean, for a couple reasons. One, that's just kind of who I am. If I were to go up and tell, a bunch of dirty or blue jokes, that's not how I think. That's not who I am. That's not my life. And so it wouldn't be really true to what I'm trying to do up there.
That'd be weird.
That's not the character I'm going to take on, pastor by day, filthy blue comedian by night,
Was that, that was sort of the Sam Kinison role though, right?
He started up
as a preacher and then, I don't know if these terms are right, preacher, right? He was a preacher.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know the Kinison story.
Were your parents religious?
No, they,
Really?
No, I'm one of the rare converts who.
So did you meet your wife at church?
Or met her in a youth group van on the way to on a mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pro van story.
Pro van, yeah.
Did you wait till marriage?
I did, yeah.
Wow. It's
yeah, I mean, got married really young. I was 19 and she was 20.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah.
So we just
robbing the cradle.
We waited till marriage. She was 20.
Yeah. Robbing the cradle.
Yeah. 4 months.
Right.
4 months old.
And then you had kids how quickly after that?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. something like that.
How long did you guys know each other before you got married?
Like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
We did the high school sweetheart thing.
Oh.
It's
adorable. This is a quaint little show we're having.
Well, we
right
don't
here.
Have very many married comedians on.
That's true.
So right. We like to dive into different areas.
Right.
You know?
But she supports what you do.
No. No. No, she hates. No, yeah, she does. Yeah. She, very much so, yeah. Like, you just, life is like, when you, as like a family man with doing comedy, it's totally different, you know?
It must be. I mean, like, are your kids right now, like, where is
they're asleep right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But if they woke up and you weren't there, they'd be
it would
a little...
be with the lady. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, you approach comedy totally different. You
this
know,
is like, just screaming in your house all the time?
No, my kids are older. Like, they're not. Oh. It will be that way when...
How old are they?
6 and 4.
That's not screaming age?
I mean, not like the middle of the night I wake up screaming age. That's more the the newborn, the 0 to 2
oh, right.
type age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld says, right, with the 2 to 3-year-old, it's like you have a blender, but you can't find the top. Like, that's...
Okay.
Like, during the day, it's kind of a tirade all the time, and there's...
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a good amount of that. Well, my boy is in school now, so he's in first grade.
Okay.
And so there's that moment of silence. And then my daughter's in preschool.
You have a lot of jokes about your kids?
I do, yeah. Yeah. Not. I try not to do only parenting stuff because you really limit yourself at that point. To,
but everyone
like we were talking
kid,
about
so.
Before, like that's true, but not everyone still relates to being a parent. Like we were talking, Jeff and I were talking earlier about the show at the Wood, and... Like, I can't...
Did you do that show, too?
I did do that show.
What, tonight?
Not tonight, no. Okay. Like, I've done it before, and I can't do really any parenting stuff in that. Like, I certainly can't lead with it. I have to do something that they relate to a little more. Like, hey, yeah, you're dropping your kid off at school the other day.
Well,
you guys
Adam
relate
Voss
to that?
Was on the show. He did a lot of parenting stuff.
Adam
Voss?
Oh, Wasserman was? He was on tonight?
Yeah.
Nice.
So he did a lot of kid stuff. Seemed to go over well.
Yeah.
Cool.
So... I don't know.
Funny's funny.
So I do a lot of parenting stuff, but not only parenting stuff because
right.
I don't want. But at the same time, like having parenting and family and marriage stuff, like, it, I mean, that's so much of the world that like that is a very broad.
Yeah. And also stroke. I just think talking about being a kid, everyone can identify with that.
Yeah.
It sort of brings them back to a cool place. So.
So you said the first time you did comedy was at the Madhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you prepare? How did you finally get yourself on stage?
I didn't really take that much of like a. You know, talk myself into it. It was more just, okay, this is how I do it. How do I sign up? I have to call.
You had been pastoring for quite
I'd
a while.
I've been pastoring.
That's
for,
not a verb. Is that right?
I'll give you pastoring.
Pastoring? You
yeah.
have been pastoring for
yeah.
some time.
Shepherding.
You had been maybe. Shepherding the flock for some time, which is public speaking.
Discipling.
Right?
Yeah, like that. So I was very, like, that actually was detrimental because
really?
I was too confident. And then I was like, okay, whatever, I got this.
Interesting.
But when you do any type of public speaking, like I've done presentations and spoke at conferences and done stuff at workplaces and stuff like that. Like I've been in front of crowds a lot.
Right.
But if you're not doing comedy, when a joke comes, they're not expecting it and they're just really happy that a joke happened. And so you get this false sense of confidence that you're really funny. This happens with public speakers who think they're comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that they're doing an hour-long lecture on economics. And the 3 zingers they throw in there are hilarious because you stop talking about economics.
Mm.
And so, like, I remember my first few open mics where what I lacked was I would have a nice punchline at the end, but the joke per minute, like, it just took me so long to get there, and I, like, had to reconstruct. Comedy is so different than any other type because it really is just stand up there and make me laugh,
right.
You know? So I wasn't nervous to get behind a mic. But I wasn't necessarily very good at it either.
Yeah. So is that something you measure now is the laugh per minute kind of thing? Do you think about that?
Yes and no. I mean, you guys know this. Like with sets, you can get really technical.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have like a 20-minute set, you know, or 15, 10, 8-minute set, you're looking like you know when there's dead air and you know when you have a joke that doesn't land as hard as you want it to. And you see that like in your video and your audio and stuff of you remember the big laugh, but then you listen through and like, wow, there was 45 seconds of mediocre jokes in between.
Sometimes
there.
I wonder though, like I watch a comic that has really long setup and then they get a big payoff at the end. Like, do you get a bigger payoff by making them wait for a long time?
Yeah. But those people are doing 45 minutes.
Yeah. That's
no, not always. I saw a couple at the store tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's hard to like, if you have an 8-minute set, I mean, you would hope that they're laughing for, you know, a couple minutes of that. like the actual laughter. Like if it's going really, really, really well.
Yeah.
But because if you have an 8-minute set and you tell a 4-minute story that has a middle punchline and an end punchline, mm-hmm. that might not pay off. Like it might not be the most, you know, impacting set. It might be the best set of the night.
Yeah.
It's more that you just went up and told kind of an amusing story. That's something the storyteller struggles with.
Though. Something though. I mean, I always say like, you know, the laughter is sort of the release of tension. So if you build enough tension building up to that final crescendo in the joke, then you can make them wait as long as the anticipation builds and builds, and then it's like a big payoff.
Yeah.
I don't think
don't you have to make them laugh along the way though?
I
mean,
that's
like, Cosby did that, right? I mean, like all the classic Cosby stories, like there would be a big payoff, but it's of a 4-minute story. If you look at it, it's pretty technical. Like there's still a laugh every 20, 30 seconds along the way, just the way that he tells the story and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't have the attention span to make people wait that long, so I can't do it. But I could see it being a technique that people use. It seemed like tonight I saw that a lot.
Where
it would be very long setup, but it would build to something.
Yeah,
you know, and it was.
Aaron Hughes does that a lot, right? Like Aaron's a big storyteller, and
him stand-up Canadian Aaron.
He's stand-up Canadian, and him and I have talked a lot about that. But he tries to do. I remember him referencing that specifically in Cosby, that you get a big payoff at the end, but you know, you get a couple little payoffs along the way. And like Jeff said, like a lot of time when you hear those stories on like an album, they're like doing 45 to an hour. Mm. And so a break is kind of needed almost.
Yeah.
You can't laugh every 20 seconds for 60 minutes.
So now that you've started comedy, have you been drawn, do some comics offend you? Like when do you think, hey, why can't he work cleaner?
No. I mean, you expect it, right? Like nobody owes me a clean set. I don't expect anyone to have the same life or set of morals that I do. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, like I would expect them to do the set that's true to them as well. Sometimes I get like disheartened when I feel like someone is doing a blue joke just for the sake of it. And it's not clever. It's not thoughtful. It's just shock comedy. But that's not unique to me. I think we all kind of feel like you're just trying to shock and awe right now.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not offended. I mean, you asked the question. Like, I didn't grow up around, like, it's not like I just come from this, like, little house on the prairie home where, oh, my gosh, they're using bad words here. Like, I'm not. And if that were the case, then I would never go to
comedy. Right, I think Brandon's
club.
The same way. Like, he didn't grow up with that.
Yeah.
He is, you know. Had his challenges and things like that in the past. So,
but you guys have started this spotless comedy. Is that to kind of like bring a cleaner scene or see if comics can do clean? Or?
I don't think we had any intention to clean up the scene. Let's clean up this town. I did a show where that was literally the tagline, and it was in L.A. Let's clean this town. But it was at the Hollywood Improv, so I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll clean up this town from the Hollywood Improv. Mm-hmm. For Brandon and I, it was, my view was, this was a clean show option for people that just wanted to go to a clean show. Because reality is like, it's not even just Christians. Like some people just in general just want a cleaner show. And I've had so many times on so many different type shows where someone had come up to me and thank me for being the only clean comic that night. I liked you because you didn't do this, this, and this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not like I don't view myself as superior. It's a taste thing, and that people have different taste in comedy, and some people want clean and some people want blue. And
I'm sure there's other weird people that come up to the dirtiest comic, right? Like, I loved when you talk that nastiness.
Oh, of course.
I loved it.
Yeah, but
does that happen, you think? Actually, I haven't heard it.
I think
it probably does, though.
So, but you don't really do many open mics, really.
No, that's not based on anything that we're talking about, though. It's based on just time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can go up 3 to 4 times a week. And so usually that's not a mic, you know, usually that's just a different show that I try and get on, one way or the other, like whether it's just a drop in or it's something that I've ever been booked at, or we were doing the weekly show at Space Bar or this, spotless show. So it's not that I don't appreciate the mics serve their purpose, you know, like they're open mics. You know, I've done them before, but I can't do them a ton.
Did you feel that you did as well as other people? Because it seems like a lot of with when you're doing open mics, it's mostly just other comics. Did you feel like your comedy didn't really work in that environment?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't see. I mean, what's doing well? What works on an open mic? Just what making the other comics laugh? Like
pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which may or may not actually be helpful in developing comedy. I mean, it's not like clean guys can't go do open mics as well. I definitely had times. The first open mic I did, I remember getting a laugh at the end, but there was no laughs along the way. And the second mic I did, I just bombed, and then it's been kind of hit or miss ever since then, you know.
So the open mics are pretty hit or miss. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. I understand that, like, I might not be another comic's favorite comic, but that, again, that just comes to taste. But like you said, funny's funny. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. So some people, I don't think that it being clean means you can't do open mics. I think that being married with a full-time job and having two kids means you can only do so many mics. Part of the things with the mics is they just start earlier a lot too. Like, stand-up comedy isn't always the worst when it starts at 8 or 9. Even, you know, like the later shows are easier because my kids go to bed at like, you know, 6:30, 7:30.
Yeah, you can't sneak out right during
dinner. So you can most nights, even when I have a show, I eat dinner with the family. I do the dad thing. I read stories. I put them in bed and hang out with my lady for a little bit and then head off to the scene, you know.
Yeah.
The scene.
Did she help you with your material?
The general rule with my wife is if I tell a joke and she laughs, it will bomb. And if she if she hates it, then it's a great new joke. She's got a different sense
so
of humor.
She's like the opposite. It's bizarro.
I think that she knows when I'm working material in, and she's like, "What? I didn't marry you for your material." Like, you know, there are the things that we think are funny are just, you know, when you're in a relationship, you just have whole long list of things that you think are uniquely funny. So like, there were a couple, like I ran a joke by her this morning that I thought was going to be,
you still keep running jokes by her anyway?
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of, hey, I had this thought. What do you think?
And if she likes it, you don't.
Yeah. And she liked it this morning. And I was like, okay, well, I guess.
So you're not gonna
that's,
use it.
I know.
What was the idea?
Well, here we go. Well, here's the test. My son came up to me and said, I'm trying to remember. Can we say that men are beautiful, or do we use a different word for them? That's what he's asking. So I thought, okay, maybe I could do like a little misdirect here. I was like, well, son, we say that women are beautiful, but to describe a man, we say that they are. And then I would hopefully get the crowd and they say handsome, and I would say rational. You know, just as a twist there, which was like, it's like a little basic, and then go on to some of the marriage stuff that I talk about. And she thought it was hilarious. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll probably never that joke.
So you won't try it?
I won't try it.
Jeff, what do you give it? Thumbs up, thumbs down? What do you say? Did he try it?
I think you should try everything.
Yeah.
I
try everything. Well, no.
That joke is dependent on the crowd thinking that. That like I almost need them to say like handsome,
yeah.
Right? Because did that make sense to you that I would try and draw them out and be like,
hey. Sure.
But then I was wondering, is rational a word that doesn't? Do you immediately know what rational means and you immediately think that I'm saying women are irrational? Does that whole jump happen in just saying that word? I don't know. Maybe I'll try it at my next open mic.
Try it.
I'm doing the Aces mic this Sunday. Does that count?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a mic.
That's a mic.
Like I said, though, they have like 50 people there.
Yeah, I've done it before.
They're all spread out.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to, it's worth getting in front of Rocky here and there, you know, because.
Have you done a weekend there?
I haven't, no.
No.
I have not.
You do like every weekend at the Madhouse.
No.
So. 2 weekends in a row this guy gets.
Really?
No, not in a row.
2 years that the show's been running.
No.
Oh, you
I did.
Hit the people up.
I did 2 weekends in a month and have not gotten a call since, but. Those were fairly recent.
They called you for it?
Jeff got a free beer out of the deal. So.
Yeah, free beer.
You did.
I was walking. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That's pastor not beer. Priest there. The free beer in the comedy club.
Yeah, 2 weekends in a month, though, huh?
Yeah. Opening? One was opening, one was feature.
get paid either time?
I did not get paid.
No,
either
sir.
Time. But here we go. This is similar. Jeff and I were talking about, I'll compare it to, like, you were talking about Big Mike and the Bringer Show. He's honest and straightforward about what he's doing. Robert had said to me,
you're not going
to
get paid.
He said, I want, essentially, they were like audition weekends. I have a couple weekends where, for whatever reason,
if you do really
paying.
Good on those, they'll book you again in the future where, you know, we won't get paid.
When you won't get paid. Great. Yeah.
You have to audition again.
Yeah.
They don't remember because none of us watched.
Forgot that yeah. audition.
Have you done the,
Robert
done the
watched, Robert watched my last, well, he listened. He was near mm-hmm. and gave me the fist pound of approval at the end. Mm-hmm. Well, because that was a Saturday night show and I was following Billy all weekend, which I was not thrilled about, right? I mean, Billy is a lot better of a comedian than I am, a lot funnier of a comedian than I am. So I was, that went to my head a little bit. But then the first Saturday night show was like in the middle of my show, or in the middle of my set, the lights turned off.
Okay.
Inexplicably, just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But what the reason was is Robert had walked in and noticed that some of the stage lights weren't on, and he said to whoever is working the booth that shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm. RJ Haynes.
I said no names. Hey, fix the lights. And Robert thought that
Fix the light
meant between comedians, fix the lights. So the lights went all the way off, and they weren't off briefly. They were off for like 10 seconds.
Mm.
And then they came all the way back on, like whitewashed me out. You
blazing.
Know? And then they came back down, and this took about 45 seconds of my, you know, whatever. And I never really recovered from that.
And but you don't really do crowd work or anything like that, right?
I do crowd work. Yeah. It's, you've said this before, like, and I agree with it. Like, I use it. It's a good thing to have in your pocket. Like, mm-hmm. I use it when it feels right to use it, like when I feel like it would be helpful. If I'm hosting, I try and do it a little bit just because it seems so weird just to go stand up and start broadcasting to people. Louis C.K. had that special where he started, right, where he essentially said, like, this is so weird. There's no reason that you guys should be sitting here watching me do this. I never know how to start these. And I feel that as a host sometimes that I guess Cameron Dyson woo it a bunch or just talk really loud like other guys do. Like, I don't know how to host very well.
Yeah.
So I'll do it a little more then, but the crowd work, what I won't do.
Phrase you need to learn is let's keep this train a rolling.
There it is.
That's the host one.
Ladies and gentlemen, really funny guy. Works all over San Diego.
Mm. He's all
regular
over the place.
At the La Jolla Comedy Store. Insert generic San Diego comedian.
You ever called an audience member a fucking faggot?
Once. No, never. No, I didn't. Only on the open mic I did.
Okay. No. He was.
I just let loose. I don't. What
he
I don't.
A girl
what
to
I
talked to him after the show too.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Tonight?
Absolutely.
Oh good.
She was down for some finger blasting.
Yeah, contra that.
He told her, "Yeah, I will finger blast the shit out of you."
Oh god.
And then boom.
He did.
I don't know.
This doesn't happen usually. I usually have an old woman come up to me and say, thank you for being clean. You remind me of my grandson,
yeah,
who's also nice. Very funny and wears stocking caps.
Have you ever cursed on stage?
No.
Do you curse off stage?
Not really.
What do you do when you get angry?
I just suppress. I just put it away deep.
Like a good husband should.
Smart.
No, I mean,
are you allowed to curse like the devil?
Curse like the devil?
No, curse the devil. Can you curse the devil?
I'm not really into the cursing either of those scenarios where I put a curse on someone
no,
or
not
the
bad.
Actual.
I mean, if you got really mad,
curse the devil,
like,
curse the
devil.
No,
you know, that kind of thing, because at least you're in the right direction.
I don't care if Christians do or don't swear, like, because I think sometimes that
that's not a mortal sin, right?
No, it's a word like, well, wait for it.
I got
what's up.
Is it okay for Christians to gamble?
Oh, I got no problems with that.
There
I think that
boom.
But
I told you it's not a mortal sin.
But here's the thing, like if you surveyed
yeah.
if
don't
you
mess with me, Billito.
If you
that
surveyed like 10 other Christians, they might say something else.
No. I never said it was a sin. I just think it's frowned upon.
Here's
is
my
it frowned upon?
It depends. Like if it's if you're ruining your life, like
but
yeah.
regular gambling
but if,
is
if
not.
You and I if we were all playing poker tonight and we put $20 in, yeah, absolutely. Like the best man at my wedding was a Christian.
Good to go.
Was a professional poker player, now works in a casino in Vegas. Like,
so you're fine, Jeff.
There's certainly some more uptight, fuddy duddy type Christians who frown upon it a little more. And
I was just curious if there was even anything in the Bible about it, which I don't think there is, because I think it's
To me it's a similar stance on drinking. which is the general rule on it is don't give in to it. Like the Bible would say.
So now you're going to tell them drinking is a sin. This is going to be worse.
No.
This is going to be worse.
It wouldn't
than the gambling
say the biblical stance. Here we are. It's a little Bible study. This is nice. This happens usually on this podcast, right?
That's right. Second hour is Bible study.
The basic stance on that is that drunkenness is not, or drunkenness is where it lies. That the Bible has a very high emphasis on self-control. That you are always in control and have an understanding of what's going on, and you're not giving in to anything else.
Okay.
And that's what drunkenness is you totally. You lose that.
Right.
And so I would say, and then so some Christians, I think, would take the stance of saying, so therefore don't touch it at all.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is
you drink?
Necessary, helpful. Yeah. We've had beers together, Jeff.
Have you ever gotten drunk?
Not since being a Christian.
Okay.
But prior to that?
A couple times.
So did something happen where you found Jesus?
My story on that was I had... like a guy in my life who his name was Micah. He was a little bit older, and we used to aggressive inline together, as you did in the 90s, for about 4 years.
What does that mean?
Yeah. You know the aggressive inliners? No. The other skating? Okay, there's no way we're going to elaborate on this, are we?
It's like rollerblading?
But you know, you were doing rails and half pipes and stuff like that.
I thought he was talking about cocaine.
There was...
Aggressive inlines and rails.
Yeah.
You did.
There was like a 4 to 5 year window where that was a socially acceptable thing to do. We got a Disney movie called Brink. Did you not see any of this? Where were you guys at when the rollerblading scene was?
Never heard of it.
It's not. Okay. Anyways, we skated together.
You and him were big rollerbladers.
There was a scene. There was a subculture of rollerbladers.
I'm sure there was. And there were all kinds of people that wore leather.
So he was a friend, and we hung out, and he was really the first Christian that I ever knew. And I felt like he was just a really good friend, and he treated me differently. And I was pretty insecure. Like I was a pretty like popular kid, and I got good grades. I was good at sports, but like I was an anxious, insecure mess, and always worried what people thought about me. And he was a very different type of friend who didn't seem to judge me or care about those things. And he liked me if I was doing well or if I was doing poorly in the area. And so eventually he started to inviting me to church, and it was a stupid, ridiculous story of. There was a skateboard rally at the church. This is how a lot of kids got saved in the 90s. And a guy like went through a flaming ring of fire on a skateboard, and then told his testimony about how he believes in God. And I was like, I'm in.
Okay.
And so that was my come to Jesus story. But it wasn't based on that. It was based on these ideas of like again we were saying like I got the idea a basic idea of Christianity is that I'm not good enough, but I want to believe in a God that doesn't look down at me and say, you have to be this good. Mm-hmm. I just love you as you are. And that's the whole idea of the gospel of Jesus is that you weren't good enough, but that doesn't matter. I've never, like a good father never looks at you and says like, no, you're not good enough. I'm going to love you anyways, despite your imperfections. And the idea of Jesus was that he went on this mission to be able to bring you back into that love of the Father. And so that was kind of the come to Jesus story.
And how old were you when that
I was like 15, 16. Yeah. I wasn't
pretty early on. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I had none of it in my formative years. Like I didn't really know what the Bible was. I remember like one of the first times I went to church, there's a book of the Bible called Deuteronomy. And they said, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. And I giggled uncontrollably for 30 seconds because they had said duty in church. You know, like right. I had no idea of any of these things. So it was all very new to me. I was really captivated by this idea of, like I said, that, oh, no, it isn't. I don't have to be good enough to prove myself to somebody else or to a God or to this religion. It's not about what I do. It's about what's been done for me. And, you know.
And what did your parents think?
My parents split when I was like five. And so I was raised by a single dad. Mm-hmm. And my mom kind of was in and out of the scene most of my childhood. She was kind of coming back in around then, and trying to like reconcile a relationship of some type. My dad, I think at first just saw it as like, okay, whatever.
You have siblings too?
I have an older sister. Yeah. And he didn't really know what I was doing, but they didn't supportive of it. He saw it as like a healthy outlet that at least just kind of kept me out of trouble.
Right. It's different.
But like, he didn't believe for a long time, and but like until like 2 or 3 years ago, he had his come to Jesus moment, and I got to baptize my dad, which was in like our family lake and stuff, which was a pretty cool.
Really
powerful moment. Just I'm sharing the deep stuff with you guys about the baptism of my dad.
Explain to me the baptism. You dunk the person in water.
Yeah, it's a significant. And, it's a symbolic thing.
Of
it doesn't
washing away your sins.
Washing away your sins. Exactly. That you're remembering Jesus' death and going under and then coming back up.
Symbolic.
This, I've listened to this podcast so many times that I feel like I have this mentality as knowing that I'm a Christian comedian in the San Diego scene, and I never want to come across as preachy. Like it's just never a goal.
I think it's interesting to learn about.
But like in a setting like this, like it's nice, but the other people will listen to this. So I'm a bit self-conscious of the idea
it's fine.
Of like,
no, listen,
here
you're
I am.
Not preachy. You're not trying to bring us to the dark side or take us away from the dark side.
No, he did try to dunk me in some water.
I did. Why have you not been baptized? Yeah.
You took a baptism for me, boy.
Did that make you close to your dad after that?
I mean, I've always been pretty close to my dad because he raised me, you know? Like, because he was – not very many people were raised just by their dad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and he was, like, a pretty hardworking union guy. And so we were pretty close, but it certainly brought, like, another level of closeness. Yeah. I mean, it's really cool to get to do that.
Did you baptize your kids?
My kids, we don't do the old baby baptism, which is again another hotly debated thing within the old Christianity.
Like waterboarding, right? That's really dangerous for a baby. You don't dunk babies underwater, do you?
I was.
Do they
dunked.
Do that?
I was dunked.
You were dunked. Yeah, you were born. You're Maine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they baptize people in Maine.
Catholics will baptize that baby. They'll
it's cold out
in the Atlantic Ocean.
Was it ice in your head?
You weren't. They didn't baptize you in. No. It's in. There are warm waters for the babies. Yeah. They don't put them in the ocean.
Baptized in the cool waters of Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah.
My kids have not been baptized. If they come to a point where they say they want to and they believe in this, then great.
So do they have to go to church with you?
Yeah, but it's not like it's not anything that they're dragging their feet over. You know, like if they get to the point where they request, like, I don't want to go, then I'm not going to make them go.
Mm.
Spending the amount of time around the church that I've never really seen any good of that come in somebody's life that their parents drug them to church.
Force them to go.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I went as a kid. Did you go to church as a kid?
No, I didn't go to church. No.
Yeah.
But I did go one time. I had a sleepover at a friend's house. A southern guy from Virginia.
Oh, Saturday night, and then you went the next morning?
I had no idea this was coming.
It's the old bait and
switch. We play video games
all
night.
We teach this.
Okay. We're up all night playing video games. All of a sudden, it's like 6 in the morning. Time to get up and eat Scrapple. They made this thing called Scrapple.
What the hell is that?
Some southern thing. It's like, you know what Scrapple is?
I don't.
It's like a hard meatloaf or something that they made. It's called Scrapple. And we eat Scrapple. And then we went to church.
Sounds like scrambled apples.
I was very young and I
did
was
you have
not
nice
awake.
Clothes?
No, I didn't have nice clothes, and I literally thought the water was, like, freshen up, you know, and I'm like,
oh. No, you did.
And it was not a good scene for me at church.
Did you get the wafers?
I think I got wafers. No, I'm not sure if I got wafers or not.
You
I
do
think-
wafers at your church?
Communion is what they call it.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
We do a loaf of bread.
Nilla wafers.
Yeah. We
they actually give you bread?
Yeah.
Wheat?
They feed you like ducks.
Usually we do Hawaiian rolls.
You get Hawaiian rolls?
We get to do Hawaiian rolls a lot of times.
I'll tell you right now, I would convert to Hawaiian rolls. Hawaiian rolls are that good.
I would have definitely.
Are you here for seconds? Yes, I need to find Jesus.
I need some more body of Christ.
If your church has skateboarders through flaming hoops and Hawaiian rolls.
We don't have that.
Count me in. I'm on board.
That's good.
That's a selfish, that's probably not.
I've thought before that.
It's not wine, it's Rumplemintz. And you're there.
Forget it. I'm already on board.
I've thought before that, like, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, like, when they come to your door on the Saturday morning, how many more people would they actually get invited in if they came with coffee and donuts? Otherwise, they just show up on a Saturday morning unannounced to talk about religion.
I brought coffee and donuts.
Yeah. You're like, I'll talk about anything over coffee and donuts.
Let's hear about your God with these crullas.
And then Amish coffee's with whiskey in it, right? Or Bailey's?
Amish?
I know Irish.
Irish. Amish coffee. It's hard to get Amish coffee because they're not allowed to use coffee makers.
No, yeah. You have to.
Yeah, the Amish.
You have to
boil. Give me one of those Amish.
It's a French press. You have to boil the water over a hot fire. Yes.
They press it under one of those wooden shoes.
So this is always something. Are you familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses?
The J-Dubs?
What does that mean?
J-Dubs.
The J-Dubs. Yeah,
what is the witnessing of Jehovah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. Really? Yeah.
You don't know what that is.
I'm not a big expert on the.
But they believe in coming to your door.
They do. As do the Mormons.
Mormons do as well?
Yeah, they'll knock on your door on a Saturday morning.
The other Saturday morning,
there are.
I had a Jehovah witness that came to my house.
Jehovah? Was it Young Hove? Was it Jigga Man?
They were
came
trying
to your door?
Convince me to follow Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
They were Jehovah.
I would follow
this
that,
this is
too.
A new bit. Is uh-huh. this guy?
No, I just thought of that. I think that's funny, though.
Jehovah's Witness.
You got to.
Your boy.
That's Beyonce.
Yeah.
He's your boy, Jay-Z.
Is there ever a perfect storm of a Jehovah's Witness coming to a Mormon's house and they both get to the door at the same time? Like, oh, I want to talk to you. No, I want to talk to yeah. you.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
I haven't seen it. I don't. I know
what
elements
do you know about, Hindus. Can we talk about that?
I know a little more.
Okay. I want to know.
This
about,
was, the, after all, I told you.
You majored.
I majored in religion.
Religion.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Right.
Did you finish?
Mm-hmm.
What are the. Is that a? You feel like that was good use of your money?
They got to be a pastor out of
didn't
it.
Didn't you start law school? Is that a good start of your money?
You started law school.
I never did law school.
No,
no.
Oh, that's
where
just
am I?
A bit.
No.
Yeah. I never did law school.
You never did law school.
I didn't pay for school.
No.
You know why you didn't pay
for law school? It cost $35 to get in.
There it is.
I didn't even want to apply.
He didn't want to go to the law school festival.
No, I'm not.
He's not shitting on you, but I mean,
could you
be doing what you're
doing
without.
Yeah, but everybody has not everybody, but tons of people have a stupid major.
Oh, like, of course.
I started off wanting to be a sports writer, and so I wrote a ton. It's part of the reason, like, it just helped me learn how to communicate in direct, punchy ways. And so I said I wanted to be a sports writer, I was already a Christian at that point, but. I just was a big sports fan and thought, okay, I like sports. I can write. Let's just do this. And then I kind of had a different path in that I had an advisor who told me, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to care about something more than sports and you're going to realize that you want to devote your life to that. And I thought, I didn't think anything of it at the time. And then I was at UW, University of Washington, and kind of did have that moment where I was like, I don't know that I want to do this. I don't know that I want to go. I don't know that I wanted to grind it either. Like when you do sports writer, I mean, you start off doing like the women's high school volleyball beat, you know, and you work that for 4 years and then hope that you get to cover.
Yeah, you're right. That's no inline skating.
That's no sure. aggressive inlining.
Aggressive inline.
Shut up. I hate this.
I love it.
But I was at a state school. I wasn't like, this wasn't like a Bible school or anything like that. And so I made this decision. I was like, well, I'm going to go work at a church and. See what happens there. And I just found the major that seemed most applicable. It was more a history degree than anything.
Being a pastor is a paid profession, correct?
Yeah, it is.
Probably helped.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not now. I don't work as a pastor, right. But I'm what's called a lay pastor. So I'm essentially like a volunteer pastor at my church.
Like a layman?
Yeah, exactly.
A layperson.
A layman,
like
a lay pastor.
Civilian pastor.
So there it is, yeah.
Okay.
But that's not my day job.
Right. What is your day job?
I work at a community center called the Kroc Center in La Mesa.
Mm-hmm. Ray Kroc? McDonald's?
There it is. Yeah. So the story there is Ray and – or Joan Kroc, when she gave $84 million to the Salvation Army to build this huge
– $1
have you guys ever seen it? It's in – like it's right on University. Kind of. It's very close to Space Bar.
I don't
Did you know that
So when you're
gave,
frequenting Space Bar, Jeff, next time you're down there dropping on Wednesdays, you enjoyed the show. I listened to the podcast where you said you had a fun time at that show.
It was
show.
Fun.
And then you still dogged on Space Bar.
When?
Like it was in the same conversation, the same
right?
two sentences later. Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a good show. And then you said you were nervous because you bombed. Well, that's Space Bar.
Well, it is.
Like,
I mean,
like you're above this bad show. Like
no,
we all,
I do a bad show every
We all
Friday.
Do bad shows.
I'll dog my own show. I don't
that's
care.
That's fair. I'll dog Space Bar.
Well, we
you
do
will
that
you will make fun of Space Bar on my terms, yeah. Jeff. On my terms.
It's at Space Bar.
At guys. At.
I don't know where you're talking about.
Chris Curtis does that a lot. Every time he gets on there. Here I am. At Space Bar. And then he dances to Fresh Prince and brings the four people down. Just crushes. Yeah, and looks at the weird art on the wall and the old computers. My favorite space bar moment ever is, you know how they have the computers there so you can just be on the computers?
Yeah.
It's very close to the stage. And usually nobody's on it. Sometimes somebody is, but somebody got on it, and Aaron Hughes is headlining that night. And he goes, you know what? This isn't going well. How about you just pull up some YouTube videos of comedians that are funnier than me, and we just all get together and watch them.
Oh, my gosh. Did they do that?
No.
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 Too bad.
Where were we at? Space bar?
We were at the
Day job. Right. So they built this big community center. It's like three blocks. It's huge. It's like over 12 acres.
You said she gave how much money?
She gave $84 million.
Yeah, that's $1 per every burger they serve.
Well, the crazy thing is when she died, she gave $1.4 billion to the Salvation Army to build like 30 more. So they're like YMCAs, but way bigger.
So they own McDonald's? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Ray Kroc, he wasn't there with the first one, but he essentially bought the first one and then owned them from like the 70s to the mid 90s, you know, so that's like an imaginary amount of money at that point. Mm. And so they built these things called Kroc Centers, and I'm middle management at a community center in East San Diego, La Mesa.
Do you have to wear Kroc shoes?
No. I wear Clarks.
Clarks. And, yeah. Knockoff Clarks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a grown up. No, Clarks are, they have good orthopedic support, and they look okay with khakis.
Nice.
But they're not dress shoes. It's in between. You know?
Are they wallabies?
Yeah, yeah.
Wallabies.
Sometimes I tuck in the shirt, sometimes
the wallaby
I don't.
Clocks.
You know?
That's nice.
That's what they are.
Does your wife work?
No. She was a graphic designer, and she did that part-time when our boy was born a little bit, but it just kind of got to be too much for us.
She's too busy now taking care of your baby.
She's taking care of the babies. Every once in a while, she'll do like a freelance project here and there as a designer, but not very much.
Yeah, she's got her hands.
She can't throw Dave Wright's face on the Hobbit poster. I mean, she doesn't have those kind of skills.
She could. All she needs is a lot of free time.
So, yeah, it's a cool job, and I've gotten to do like some comedy through it and stuff. Mm. It's like I got to we did a fundraiser show there where Mark Christopher Lawrence came out and headlined, and that was cool. And
MCL,
who's a member now at the Kroc Center.
Is he a member of your church?
No.
Does he live in San Diego?
He does. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mark's been a bit of a mentor and been really good to me. It's one of my very when I've some of the first non-open mic shows that I did, probably the very first actually, were with Brouhaha, mm-hmm. Because Brandon was one of the first guys I connected with in the scene because I noticed that he was working clean, and I saw him on it was Zoltan's album recording that he did at Madhouse, whenever that was at, and he was on that show and did really well that night, and so I reached out to him, and he introduced me to the Brouhaha.
Which is like Crew, Chris Klauber.
And Diane, yeah. And I think they're still producing. They were doing more than that. I think they were doing twice a week shows then. Mm-hmm. And the way that you would do their shows is that you would go and do the audition. And I went there. It was at the La Mesa Grill at the Holiday Inn in La Mesa. And they just said, come after the show and, you know, do an audition. And I had only been on stage like maybe 5-6 times at that point. And so I was going to audition in front of them, and I was obviously crazy nervous to do an audition, and I didn't know what it meant, right? I didn't know what it meant to pass or to do well.
Right.
And then they asked Mark, hey, do you want to stick around for this? Which just added to the nerve. So it's like Diane, some other person I can't remember, Mark and Chris Klauber, and I auditioned for them, and I did 4 or 5 minutes.
And then they do a show called Brouhaha somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, they do – I don't remember what they're doing The last I remember is they were alternating on the Haritna Room, which is a Mediterranean grill in La Mesa. Okay.
So they love grills.
They love the grills.
Okay.
If you had it your way, would you just perform in La Mesa?
In La Mesa. Yeah.
If you could make a career just performing in La Mesa.
I think some point you're going to ask me the goal is, and it's to open the only comedy club in La Mesa. And we will serve those 44,000 people. Jewel of the Hills is
Have
what
you thought
signs.
Of a name?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you
better have a
really,
grill in it. I'll tell you,
La Mesa Comedy Grill.
La Mesa Grill
at La Mesa Comedy Grill.
That's good.
Yeah, it'll just be a shout out to all my roots and doing the Lord's comedy.
There's no clubs in La Mesa, so that's
why would La Mesa have a comedy club?
Listen,
could sustain it. You never know.
Yeah,
So yeah. Being a dad, do you feel more pressure on yourself to make it, or are you financially stable making enough at the croc?
The day job's not going.
Sounds bad when you say it like that.
The day job is not going away anytime soon, right? Like, so that does provide the financial stability. It's it would be harder for me to ever make the jump, right? I mean, like, to be a full-time comedian, I've said before, like, I would have to have my income that I make now lined up for the next 18 months. Like, that's right. That's the mark of what.
But there's certainly a niche for doing church shows.
I mean, today I got booked for a $500 gig to do 30 minutes.
See?
And I get to pay the opener and feature 200 and another 100. And it's like, it's just the reason. So,
listen,
you know, clean up the.
I've learned a lot.
I plan to send one of your videos. I told them I would send them 8 videos and they could choose.
You
which
saw
ones
us?
They
we
liked.
Did clean for 38 minutes. Together.
I don't know if you, you know, I don't.
That wasn't
remember,
clean
I'm
enough.
Headlining that night, so I don't want the feature to be too strong. I don't want to get buried by
will,
the feature act.
If you want me to, I will bomb.
Yeah. You will bomb for
$250, and I will bomb for you.
Here's the thing about, like, the reason that you can make money in church shows is not because churches have this crazy amount of money. It's not like that at all, because churches don't. Some have a lot, but they're nonprofits. They don't. That's all I've ever worked for is nonprofits. They don't have this like crazy imaginary amount of money.
Right.
Because they don't regularly produce shows. And so, like, when Michael Jr. comes into The Rock and 4,000 or 5,000 people, I don't know how many people come, come in paying $20-$30 a ticket, they can pay him $8,000-$10,000 and they're going to get that, you know? And it'll be a fun event for their church and give their church some exposure. So, like, this event is a fundraiser for them where they're going to do a few other things. And they said, well, more people will come if we have a comedy act, they'll have a good time and hopefully give to this. And so that's the reason that it works. It's the same with corporate stuff. Like, I would rather not do just church. Like, I've thought before, like, I'll always want to do club comedy because I think that's where the best comedy is. I think that there are good Christian comics out there. And I did a showcase in Nashville for the Christian Comedy Association. And I went in there thinking that I was big time and I was just going to crush and I was going to be – because I was a club comedian. And I got buried. It was one of the worst shows that I did, and these guys were so much funnier than me. Because a lot of guys who do churches are like me. They also do clubs, and they're really strong, and they have credits. They just – they're clean enough that they can do these other things too, which
– Oh, it wasn't that you were up against all Jewish comedians?
No. I talked about this with Christian Spicer at Lestat's once, and he asked, like, do you do a lot of church shows? And I said, yeah, but I can do this too. You know, don't think that I'm just a church comedian. And he said, all that means is that you have a straighter path to being a working comedian. And there's some reality to that. But again, I don't ever want to get away from clubs because, like I said, I think that's where the best comedy is. And I think that you have, like, an inflated view of your own comedy if you don't do the club scene where there can be really bad nights,
right,
as opposed to, like, a Christian comic friend of mine named Jason Earls, who opens for Michael Jr. a lot, says, like, churches are slow-pitch softball in a lot of ways. They're just excited to go have – they're out for a show.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Well, there's comedy in church. This is amazing. The pastor's jokes are usually so cheesy. This is great. Look at these quote-unquote
I can do that for you.
I need you to bomb.
Seriously.
I think
no
that,
problem.
And a lot of these shows during the day or the afternoon?
No, they're night shows. I mean, like, I have another one lined up, and it's like a men's event, like, that is, like, it's like a luncheon or something like that. But
and do people approach you, or do you approach them?
Both. Yeah, I think that I was, you know, like, someone asked on there, like, you know, do you, since I I've got a family and I can't grind, do I view this, like, as less as a hobby?
Are you talking about the Facebook question?
Yeah. Somebody
there were several Facebook questions for him.
Yeah. Well, you can bring them up.
We're addressing them.
It looks like he's read them already, but.
Yeah.
Anyone ask you on there if you were influenced by the church lady? That's a Dana Carvey thing.
No, just the union lady.
The union lady.
She's the union lady. That was an inside space bar.
I think one of the questions is, how do you go about writing? I mean, it seems like a lot of stuff just comes with you and then you'll run it by your wife.
Well, no, I mean, I test out material too. You know, like, sometimes I just have to do it on book shows, you know. One of the things that MCL said to me that has lasted, right, is he Whether or not he actually does this, I'm not sure, but he says he'll never go to the stage and not try something new unless it's a huge, huge show. So, like, if I'm doing, you know, 15 minutes at Haritna, like, I can try 5 new minutes there and then tweak it. And Spacebar isn't helpful for that, too, is that it kind of serves as a little bit of an open mic. And a lot of those people are the same people, so I can't give them. Like, I feel like I have, like, 30 to 40 minutes, which means after a month of shows, they had heard it all. So that's how I started to produce a lot of this stuff.
Mm. But do you write it out, pen and paper, beforehand?
I write it in Evernote. Like, so I do it on my phone, or I have it. I have Evernote on my laptop, which syncs to my work computer, which syncs to my phone. And so, like, if I have the idea at work, I can just type it in it there and come back to it later, and it'll be on my phone, and then it'll be on my work, my computer.
That's nice.
Home, too.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm too forgetful. I've thought about the notepad, but I would lose notepads, and I'm less likely to lose my work computer.
Yeah, that's smart.
So I'll write the premise idea, and I think you guys do this too. Before you hit the stage, like, you'll practice it in the car or something like that, or I don't know. How do you guys do it? Because what I'll do is I'll come up with a premise that I like, and I'll start to flesh it out in my head a little bit, and then I'll start to write a couple sentences, but they're not the full sentence. You know, it's, you know, here's a sentence break, here's a sentence, and here's how I kind of imagine myself saying it.
Yeah.
And I'll say it in my head a few times, like, usually a lot of time, like, on the way to this, onto the show, I'll say it in my head a few times. And then part of the reason I bring up notes is so I remember to tell that. I don't always bring up notes, but if I'm trying some new stuff, I'll forget to tell the new joke, or I won't be super confident in it. So I'll forget.
Yeah.
Or I'll bail, especially act out. So I get really nervous whenever I'm going to try and do, like, a voice.
Or really?
Like, I have, like, one impersonation that I do, and I get so nervous every time I do it because on
Jerry Marsh?
Because on act, Rick Moranis, no.
Okay.
It's the act outs, like, you just have to, sell out on them.
Yeah, you have to sell.
And
not sell out.
Yeah. No, well, like, you have to, them. you have to give it everything.
Right.
Especially an impersonation. And like the one impersonation I do is of Gilbert Godfrey as the Joker.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
you
so
really
I do it.
Go all the way with that, huh?
And that's the thing, like, especially a Godfrey voice, yeah. Right? Like, and the first time I ever did it, I got an applause break, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to write out more impersonations.
Mm-hmm.
And the next 3 times I did it, it bombed. And so every time I think about it, where this is coming in my set list, I get terrified.
Yeah.
Because you look, it's one thing to tell a bad joke. It's quite another to do a bad act out on
right.
stage. Do you guys feel it? Don't you just feel like an idiot up there?
Absolutely.
I feel like a clown, that I'm just dancing up there, and they hate me, and I hate me, and...
The only act that I really ever did is I used to do a joke about spider webs, that you could be the toughest person in the world, like being a UFC fighter, like, yeah, I just broke his nose, yeah, you see how much he's bleeding, and then I would walk into a spider web and, like, yell uncontrollably, and just, but I couldn't do it, I couldn't sell it.
Yeah. Is the same thing, did you get kind of nervous when it was coming up?
No, it's just not like me. I'm not like yeah. that. I'm not an animated kind of person.
Yeah.
So I just felt phony.
Well, you do a ton of act outs, though.
I guess so. I don't know.
No, you do. You do.
Yeah.
You take on different voices and that kind of stuff all along the way.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Do you get nervous doing it, or do you feel like that's just who you are, so it's not a big deal?
I don't know. I'm always nervous.
When you're doing your impersonation of The Rock doing stand-up comedy.
I prefer to do Mike Hula as Bill Cosby, but yes.
I mean, well, we did a big thing when we were like Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, it was so good. I just remember
and then you ran around.
Yes.
And then run around the room as Ultimate Warrior.
That was a spotless show. You guys did really, really well there.
Yeah. I was more nervous for
maybe
you
I
run
need to
than
start
anything.
Booking you guys from a church gig. So.
I know.
You see, that's 2 in a row we did for you
yeah.
that went well. So I think we're ready.
I don't know. You can't call the pastor Seal like you called the owner of
Spacebar. Oh, that
Space
was Jeff.
Bar.
That's
Seal.
Jeff. Jeff called him Seal.
That's all you guys were doing for that first 10 minutes was you called someone Seal. You called someone Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter.
You called someone Santana.
That's right. We were
you,
giving people
you
names.
Walked Santana as he left the room.
He was leaving.
Yes,
whatever.
He was leaving.
And then you dogged on La Mesa. Because everyone in La Mesa was, because remember they kept raising their hand, and the line of it was,
yeah,
what was it? Welcome to La Mesa, arms raised, legs open.
That's right.
Because everyone in the base is pregnant.
Everyone was pregnant.
Well, the first two were me and then this other guy, John Lowther, who also has a pregnant 16 wife.
16 babies between the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Two out of womb.
Fertile group.
Yeah. Well, sweet. You got any other questions?
Yeah, there's several questions on here for you, actually.
Anything people good? Are usually interested in
San Diego
the
Comedians
stuff,
Facebook page. Anthony Mays asked what comedians influenced your writing or comedic style, if any. I mean, you had mentioned Dana Carvey, but...
But I'm nothing like Dana Carvey on stage, right? Like, I don't
think so.
I don't feel like...
So when you do that, when you close with that, you
I
sound
do.
A little like
yeah.
Any other comedians?
I listen to a lot of different comedians. And very few of them affect.
Dan Bublitz is a big one.
Yeah,
or one.
Yeah. I like to listen to different comedy albums, and I think it's helpful in just pulling from how different people are writing and stuff like that.
Give me names.
I'm a big Mulaney fan, and but I feel like that's like a
John Mulaney.
Yeah, like I feel like that's like a common answer.
Is it?
But I saw
first time anyone said it on the.
There you go.
95 episodes.
Wow. First time, right there.
I like John Mulaney. The first comedy show I ever saw live was Norm Macdonald and John Lovitz. When that was like a big theater show in Seattle, and it was funny. And Norm Macdonald
Couple more SNL guys.
There you go. And that's how I knew him, right? But then the second one I ever saw was like my college would do these like $5 shows. And this was like early 2000s. So there were guys that were big but not huge. There were guys doing the college circuit. And Mulaney opened up for Birbiglia. And it was like a $5 show. And it was in this cool auditorium at my school. And Mulaney was the host for the whole thing. And he just crushed. He stole the show. He buried the feature act and Birbiglia. And like I just kind of like – I got like I was like in awe of like – because his style is so different and – the voices and the things that he was saying. He did a whole thing on writing a suicide note in Wingdings. You remember that?
Nice.
Like, it was just, it was great.
That's
and
awesome.
Then, so I watched his career and like he was doing small stuff on like VH1. And, but now he, like, Slate named his comedy album like the best of the year.
Well,
and
I think he's the head writer at SNL now.
And then he just got a show on Fox now, Mulaney, that just.
You started
came out.
Real young though.
Good
yeah.
For him, man.
You
know.
So I like John Mulaney a lot. I remember just watching those old Comedy Central specials, and like I remember Gaffigan's first one, and I remember really liking Dane Cook's first one. Didn't like much after that with Dane Cook, but that first one where he's in the black tank top and stuff and
going crazy.
Sucked my back. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah. The pickles and the pig. It was really good. Yeah, the brother that worked at Burger King, all that stuff was really, really funny.
Funny.
I really like Tom Papa. He's probably one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think if there's like Tom Papa is a similar comedian to me in that, I mean, I'm sure he really respects and admires my work and I influenced him a lot.
Of course.
But yeah, he's primarily material that's based on his life experiences and then adding and stuff. And so I would say Tom Papa.
The other day I said I liked a comedian. Jeff said, yeah, I thought you'd like him. He's simple.
He's kind of.
Simple comedy, he says to me.
You're kind of a dumb dumb.
Simple comedy. This is coming from the guy whose favorite comedian is Matt Burke, King of Pee Poop.
Yes.
And he says, I like simple comedy.
Yeah. Everyone likes
a bit of a simple
joke. Like simple comedy.
I like caveman comedy.
I love jokes where he says pee poop.
Yeah.
Is this a shot at Matt Burke?
How is that not a simple comedy right there?
He's figured it out, though.
Pee poop.
It's a good
joke. I love Matt Burke, but I mean. That means you like some simple comedy, buddy.
I like some simple comedy.
Okay. You're saying I like all simple comedy.
Yeah, you like to not have to think.
That is not fair at all.
You guys are friends.
That is not fair.
That is.
He doesn't even know what I like.
Yeah.
You're a big,
he has no idea.
I know exactly.
I really liked early, like, Chris Rock, too, before it all became a shtick. Like, that first, what was it, Born Suspect? That album's amazing. It's so
it was good stuff. David Zaffer has a question.
Also a daddy, right?
Yep. He has many, many children. How seriously do you take comedy as a goal? Does the fact that you have a family keep you from doing
the
grind?
Kind of
we talked
that.
About that. Or is comedy just a hobby? I guess at this point.
We covered that.
Pretty much I've covered that.
The only thing I would say I would add to that is like, because I can't, because I think he said in particular in there, like the grind, you know?
Yeah.
Like you just, if a guy can only be up 2, 3, 4 times a week, and he wants to make it like me, you just have to find a different route than the grind. And it's not like doing the grind is the only way to become a successful or professional comedian. There are other routes. And like I've had some pretty cool wins in my year and a half comedy career, and it's without doing the grind, and it's through just doing well when I had the opportunity and networking and meeting the right people. And like when
all different routes.
Well, like the networking piece is a big one. And like when we booked Kelsey Chappelle to do one of the Spotless shows, we hung out afterwards and she said, "Hey, you did really well. Hit me up and I'll try and get you up in LA," which is how I got the Ice House show, because she gave me that contact. And so you just, in many
Kelsey
ways, like
Chappelle,
yeah,
related to Dave Chappelle.
No, okay. No. But in many ways, I feel like when you go up less, like you make sure you try and make the most of every time I'm out, to do the best, to try new material, to connect with the right people while you're there, to try and get more shows. And so I feel like I take it seriously. I just can't do the grind. I'll have to have a different route.
Right. Mm-hmm. David Zaffer actually had a question for us, Jeff. He said, "How have you liked doing the Saturday shows for WS Radio versus the regular Comics Talk Comedy here?"
I mean, they're both different skills, which I think we've been learning. You know, here we can just go as long as we want. There we have to try to get concise. You know, like here we could ask questions of Dustin that I wouldn't have asked on the Saturday
show.
Yeah,
we wouldn't even have time to get into it.
The Saturday one, it's 46 minutes. So it's like we're going boom, 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 boom.
Right to it.
You know, so, but here it's more free and I just feel like there's less pressure.
It's less pressure. But on the other hand, the other show has this weird air of professionalism because they have these recorded bumps in between and commercial breaks, and you got an engineer in the other room. So it's a little different vibe, you know.
I enjoy both of them.
Yeah, they're both fun. Brandon Young asks, "Where do you want Spotless Comedy to be 1 year from now?" Dustin.
I feel like Brandon was like a co-guest on the show at this point, right? We talked about Brandon quite a bit.
Brandon.
He needs those quarters.
He needs them quarters.
Right.
Pay for my...
Laundry
my
money
kids,
young, they call
my
them.
My kids' lunch at school. I don't know.
You don't know? Where do you want Spotless Comedy to be?
If we're doing...
Out of La Mesa?
Out of La Mesa. If we're doing shows every couple months and folks who want to come out for a clean show come out, and those are good shows... You guys have both done Spotless shows. Jesse, you've done a few. Those are good shows.
Great show.
They're really generous crowds, and they're folks who normally wouldn't come to a comedy club but appreciate live comedy. And so we're just – if you're in comedy to make people laugh, then find a clean set and go make some people laugh. And don't think that clean comedy is somehow a lesser or that you're above it or you shouldn't have to do it. You're just – it's a taste thing.
I think the funniest thing to me on that last show that we did was how – anxious Dave Wright was when we said you can have like 5 minute guest spot and it has to be clean. And did you see him agonizing over that?
He was
stretching.
Well, I can't talk about that. Wait a second. Finger blast? No. How do I say? I think he actually at one point wanted to know how he could say finger blast to us.
He did swear, you remember?
And then he did.
He did drop the F bomb or the PH
bomb. He was pretty good otherwise. I said to him, "Look, dude, you could do 5 minutes of crowd work without getting dirty if you want to."
Could he?
I mean, half the time.
Could he? But he ended up being – the reason that Dave did so well is that he was so endearing. Like he came out and just said, "This is hard for me." And so everyone knew he was on the edge.
Yeah.
And then when he did slip, everyone – it was one of the biggest laughs of the night.
It was fun.
Other than Seal. Seal was the biggest laugh of the night.
It was enjoyable for us to watch him squirm over a new challenge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think he rose to the – occasion besides the one F-bomb, but other than that, I mean, you know, it was just funny because normally he's pretty loose going on and, you know, doesn't worry about it. But I think it's good to stretch yourself sometimes and try to challenge, you know, either way. Anthony Mays asks Dustin, "Would you rather have your own sitcom or be a touring comedian? Pick one. These are your only two choices in life. There's no other third option. You're going to, either way, you'd give up the children.
I give up the children. I'm a celebrity. I can't.
David Zaffer will adopt the children.
Yeah.
Have your own sitcom.
I guess if you had to pick, a gun to your head, you want your own sitcom or be a touring comedian?
Oh.
A touring headliner, excuse me.
Touring magician.
Touring magician Anthony Mays.
Yeah. Is he a magician?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could go either way on that. I'm terrified of acting too, like I said, with the act out thing. So the thought of a sitcom, unless they just built it around me, like they did Seinfeld and you just are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that, you know? So, but then the advantage to a sitcom is it's local, like you live in LA or whatever. And the hardest thing about being a touring headliner, obviously, would be being away from the fam. So
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So
what about you, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a
sitcom or headliner. It's a good question, I think, Anthony.
The sitcom
made.
Would lead to headlining for the rest of your life, right?
Well, I think it's other way around. I think you headline for long enough, you become a big enough name, then yeah. you get a sitcom.
But then you're doing what if the massive Vegas shows. When
what if
you do,
the sitcom's
you know?
Shitty and it doesn't do well and it doesn't last very long and you're done? It's not like they say sitcom, that means it's going to be Seinfeld. Right?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Whitney wasn't well received. It only went 2 years, but she's still a huge draw.
Yeah.
You know?
So, what would you pick? Would you rather be do your own sitcom?
Right now in my life, I'd be a touring comedian. Uh-huh. If 5 years down the road, I'm married with kids, I'd want to do a sitcom.
There it is.
You know?
Josh Nelson asks, Dustin, do you ever just want to go crazy and not be clean?
That's got to be rooted in him being blue on the clean show, right? You were there for that, weren't you?
Oh, that's a funny story.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Now, was that on the Madhouse or the Palace?
It was at the Palace.
Was it the
and
Palace?
It was a clean show. It wasn't a spotless show. It was
the
other
Josh
Lawson was doing a benefit show or
yeah.
missions show or whatever, something like that. And he came up and he didn't know. And so he opened with anal beads.
Anal beads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is probably the sixth and seventh words out of his mouth.
Right.
And Bijan loses it in the back, just laughing.
Yeah.
Bijan didn't care about the integrity of the clean
of the
show.
Clean. He just thought
just it was
funny
what was happening.
Someone screwed that up.
And then Josh Lawson comes up and writes a note and puts it on the stage and says, clean show. And then Nelson says, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah. And
so he literally
thought it was a joke.
Yeah, the whole time he thought it was a joke. So he continued on his set. And afterwards,
continue being dirty, basically.
Yeah, the whole he did it for all 8 minutes, and I followed.
And you followed.
I got to follow that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that was the night that we did the wood after that, and so.
And then he did anal beads there as well.
He did all clean for the wood. He switched them. No. So no, because again, like I don't think that way. I don't act that way. Those aren't the jokes that I think. Or
you
there's
mean,
been every
you,
once
you
in a while a heckler will bother me. And you'll think about.
Oh, so a heckler might. Pull
I try
it out
to be
of you.
Very like my demeanor on stage. I try to be very kind and like I do a lot of self deprecation, talk about being average and driving minivans and stuff like that. So I don't draw hecklers because I'm kind of just making fun of myself.
Still always happen. You get interrupted. They say, you know, you're not funny or whatever. You know.
Yeah. I've had that before. I told some joke that bombed. Next.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just.
That's a tough.
That doesn't make me want to, like, go dirty, but it certainly angers you a bit and makes you want to dive in the crowd.
You want to physically assault
Yeah, no, I go straight to physical rage. Every once in a while on that, I'll try and banter a bit because.
And you do.
But I can do that, and I've had, like, some, like, success doing that. Like, I've had good sets in bars shows where that's happening. But at that point, like if I'm doing that and I'm making fun of somebody for being drunk, like, you know, like how do you get back into being like my set? Like it's hard for anyone to get out of crowd work. But if I'm going at and being like a jerk or making fun of someone for being drunk, it's really hard to jump in to be like, so my daughter is potty training, you
I know?
Like,
part of that secret is you have to be smiling the whole time that you are attacking that person.
Yeah.
If you drop the smile, the crowd will not be on your side.
Yeah, I've done both where I've tried to do crowd work and it's gone awful.
Yeah.
Or I've gotten kind of frustrated at someone in the crowd and I tried to go at them and it just never recovered. But you're right. If you can have like a kind of like a goofy attitude about it or like a smile, they know you're not being you're not on rage.
Yeah, they have to get the rest of the audience on your side against that person somehow.
Yeah. So no, I've never thought about just switching.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It's
too bad.
You're trying
those are
to
the
draw
questions
me
that we
in.
Got from Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah, I think we've
comedy,
gotten
the,
down
the gospel
to our,
of Jesus Christ.
Toughest questions at this point. Which,
yeah. What's the worst show you've ever done?
My 10-year high school reunion.
Oh, boy.
I was in Seattle already to do a show, and I had no intention of going to my high school reunion. Somebody had sent me a message and said, oh, would you be willing to come to this? And I said, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. And then I posted on Facebook that I was going to be in.
They remembered you from the inline skating days.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, exactly. And they said, he's our man.
Show my face there.
He's our man. He does Haritna and Spacebar. That is our man.
Right.
And I said, no.
Yeah.
And they said, you're going to be in town and we'll give you $100.
Mm.
And I said, yes.
See, and it was that $100, man. I can never say no to that $100.
And it was in, I don't know, eight. That's like a high pressure show anyways.
Good
you know?
God, yeah.
And I was in a bar and there was like a side room, but it was still right next to the bar and there was no sound barrier. And so mostly everybody was in drinking in the bar, and that's all I could hear. I couldn't hear myself, and I couldn't hear the crowd. And the crowd was all standing because it was like a concert venue. So everybody was just standing. And I was supposed to do 40 minutes. And at 20, I kind of gave a look to the person who asked me to do it, and she just like politely nodded. And I said, thank you very much. And then after everyone was like, told me all how good and funny it was and da 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 da. It was the worst because I literally couldn't hear them. So they were like, it looked like they were, what actually was happening was that they were laughing, but I couldn't hear their laughter. So I looked like it looked like I was just getting polite smiles.
Okay.
For, you know, the 20 minutes and.
She make you give you half the money back?
Yeah. No. She only pay you half.
No, she gave me the $100 and I promptly left after that.
Yeah. Did you get any messages on Facebook from anybody after that?
No. No. A couple maybe unfriend requests.
Unfriend requests.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to request it.
I had such glorious like view of what it was going to be, but in hindsight, it was just the dumbest thing that I ever said yes to.
So you're preparing for your 25th anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in a comedy club. Sit them down. Don't
all
let anybody else
material.
Make news. I mean, that was the thing. It was like a 4-hour event, and I went up on hour 3, too.
But they're
so
already pretty drunk.
Everyone was hammered by then.
Good Lord.
What's the best show you've ever done?
As far as the show itself or just like that I got to do? Like,
well, that you felt your set went the best.
Or your favorite show that you've done?
Probably the Hollywood Improv. Like it was like, it wasn't my best set ever, but just to get to do it was crazy, you know, and like to... You know, it's like one of those awe-inspiring, like you walk in and when they ask for your money and you're like, no, I'm on the show. They're like, yeah, we don't care, you know,
right.
And then you still give them your money, you know, but the show that I did, the reason I got on it was a clean show and I reached out to the guy who was doing it. I sent him my stuff and he said, oh yeah, whatever I can't pay you anything. But so I drove up for that. But we followed a psychic medium.
Really?
Who had done 2 hours. Because I guess this is just something that happens in rooms up there is you'll book the room for anything, which I guess they're just trying to make money. Huh. So they had done 2 hours of this, and then we gently transitioned into...
Did the crowd leave? Was it a different crowd?
Yeah, a different crowd came in, but some still hung around, and it was just kind of... It was a weird vibe to the room there. But part of the reason was that I walked on stage, and like that was really cool to do, and everybody else on the show... had at least a late night credit and cool. Jerry Carmichael headlined but like what was cool about it is I felt like I held my own. Like I didn't feel like I didn't belong.
Right.
Like I was just like, I'm a middle of the road San Diego comedian. Like I'm not one of the better San Diego comedians, I'm middle of the road, but I went up and I felt like I held my own and that felt nice.
That's big.
It felt nice.
That's
a good moment.
Yeah.
You know, you say middle of the road, San Diego comedian, but I still think having the niche of being able to do clean shows and church shows is a leg up for you. That is an untapped market, but for a lot of comedians that don't have the skill set to do that.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so. I'm you know how you, I always feel like I'm only as good as my last set, and my last set was not making it out of the first round of San Diego's Funniest. Which came with some circumstances around it.
Tell us how that went.
Was it you were on the first round this week?
Yeah, but so originally I chose the wrong 3-4 days to take off of Facebook, so I missed the signups. And I'm gonna stay off the old book face for a while.
Yeah.
And I texted Brandon randomly and said, hey, let me know if Robert posts this because I'll want to get on for that because I knew it was coming up, you know. And he said, you already missed it. It's full.
It was a very quick process.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just like the first 100 people to sign up in like 3 hours. I mean, it seemed like it happened really quick.
You had to be on Facebook for sure.
Yeah, so I sent a message to Dave, and he said, you know, I can get you on the alt list. And so if anybody backs out in advance.
You talking about Sacrilegious Dave?
Yes, yes.
Dave Callens. You sent him a carrier pigeon message?
Bartender Dave Callens. Okay. At the Madhouse. You may know him. You may not. No, not familiar.
Nope.
Anyway, they sent him a message and he said, I can get you on the alt list, but no promises. So I call in.
He had to talk to David Novin first.
Yes.
But, right.
I call in for one of the regular spots on Sunday and Polo says, you know, we have the Monday spot and the Thursday spot. You can have one of the regular spots after the show. And I asked him, can I still be in the contest later on if I'm in this? And he said, yes. Anyways, I get there. And then Robert and Polo say to me, hey, if you're going to be in this contest eventually, you can't do the regular spot tonight because you can't be a judge in the contest. Okay, that makes sense. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to do comedy tonight. I'm just going to enjoy the show. 5 minutes before the show, Callen says, hey, Gus didn't show up. Gus Velasquez.
Okay.
Do you want to go up? You can bite the bullet. You get to go up first.
Oh, you get to do that?
Yes.
And your name's not on the ballot?
And my name wasn't on the ballot. And so I found out 5 minutes before. And, like, I asked a couple people, like, do you think I should do this? You know, like, I was talking to Polo. And I was like, well, if you can get through this round, things might be better. But we can't guarantee that. I couldn't wait. And to see, like, I had to choose if whether or not I wanted to wait to get one that I would have advance notice on or just go then. So I went up then. Mm. I went first. And I did okay. Like, I didn't do great, but I thought I did pretty good.
Who were you up against?
The people that advanced in our round were Brandon. Brandon did really, really well, actually. I make that sound like, actually.
Couldn't believe it happened, but it did.
Brandon went through. Nick Flair went through. Dewey went through. And then Peter Bandick went through. And Peter absolutely crushed. Everyone knew Peter won.
Really? What was the order like?
It was me. You're asking me to remember names that I'm not going to remember. But I was first. Flair was last. Dewey was third. And I think it went Dewey, Peter, and then there was a break, and then Brandon. So 3, 4, 5, and 6, kind of that middle, which are the best spots anyways, did really well and had the talent kind of stacked there. And
was there a crowd there?
Yeah, there was a crowd, but they were there for specific people, you know, like that's what the Bringer shows are.
Who were they there for?
I don't think any of those people.
No, they weren't there for the Bringers, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say they were Bringers, but people definitely, there were some people there to support individuals.
But those individuals did not advance.
They did not, no.
Wow.
So,
was there a judge?
Yeah, there were. I think the way that they're doing it is whoever the regulars are the judges. So that would have been Polo and well, Brian, and then I don't know who else went up. I don't know that for sure.
So they're getting guest judges for the finals?
No.
Non-biased judges.
Who are they?
He hasn't released it, but they're getting people that aren't in the San Diego scene.
Oh.
So you can thank me, San Diego, for that.
Yeah, there you go, Jeff.
That is a good addition to it, Jeff. I think that having non-biased judges is good.
Yeah. Nice. Little, so. 4 years too late, but... You know,
there's a bitter
nine contests too late.
It's not a perfect
there's a bitter,
science.
Bitter bite there. There's a bitter bite.
Of course,
there.
You know, still is.
Well, that's interesting.
So yes, I didn't advance going first. And
can you go up again?
No.
Yeah, every week he goes first.
I think that not having the name on the ballot hurt. You know,
well, like, of course,
naturally
they'd have to write your name in.
Yeah, and Cameron hosted and said that at the beginning, but by the time we actually did it, you know, that's 10 comedians later, a couple hours later, and so. Mm-hmm. I think that when they read the fourth place name, I knew I was out because there was no way I was going to get first or second or anything like, even though I thought my set was pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a bummer because I was in the semis last year and I was like, okay, this is the year. I'm going to be somebody.
Probably nice to be out of it early. God,
it's not
tell you.
Because we have the Bandick said this too. Like the thing with losing early is you get to watch everybody post about it for the next 6 months.
You're not in it, Jeff.
A minute.
Oh, okay.
We talked about it.
Were you guys?
In every contest I've done, I've either got knocked out in the first round or got to the finals.
Really?
I'd rather just get knocked out early.
Yeah.
Because it's just extra anxiety moving forward.
I'm so stressed out about it. Not looking forward.
It was, I didn't have any anxiety leading up to it.
Well, yeah,
but when they said, hey, you're on in five.
Yeah, right.
It was some ups and downs. But it's not like I wasn't prepared. Like I have 7 minutes, but to like, okay, here it goes.
Going first is rough, man.
Well, do you have any questions for us, Dustin?
I want to hear. I've never heard your guys' answers to that, the best and the worst show.
I've answered.
I have many questions for you guys. How long can this go?
As long as you want. Best okay. and worst show?
I have several questions then.
I don't know. Well, you haven't answered that?
I think I have. I mean, the best show was the last contest that Billy won when I went up after P-Man, the one that you judged.
Yeah.
That was probably the best set I've ever had. And then the worst, so many to name. But
if you say space bar,
no.
I'm going to take that apple juice.
I haven't really had a bad show in a while. I know I probably answered this. I just can't really think of it. It was a pretty bad show once at Tio Leo's. That was pretty bad.
Didn't you and I do the show together for Dirtfoot that time? That was a clean show.
Oh, that was at the church.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't horrible, though.
So
we got $25 and a free
meal.
You
guys have done some church
Wait
stuff?
Wait a second. Yes, we did a show.
And that one was at like 4 p.m. Like,
yeah,
I took
let me
lunch
describe
break.
This
I was wondering why you were asking about the midday thing.
Yeah, I think that was our worst show. That was Yes, it was like at 4 p.m. Bright out. There was kids there. They were all recovering alcoholics and addicts. And we had no stage, no lights, no sound. We stood at a podium under a creaky, very, very loud ceiling fan. And as soon as we started the comedy, they said, "Spaghetti served!" And everybody got up and went to the other side of the room.
No, they didn't. You're lying.
No, I swear to God.
You're embellishing.
Not one bit of my embellishing. And
I still felt worse with the Habano show that we did it together. You
felt worse at that Habano
show? Oh, yeah. Because I was still kind of new-ish. I'd only been doing comedy like a year and a half to 2 years.
Oh.
Now at this point, like, if a show is bad...
Well, the Habano show, nobody was even listening. We had no chance of doing anything with that.
Yeah, but that it just felt worse. I was mad.
Yeah, that's because we had been booked to, like, feature or something supposedly important, and then they put us on after a long break and then an open mic or something, and it just was the worst. But I don't think that was worse than the Dirtfoot one. I think the Dirtfoot one, we got less.
We got paid.
We got paid. Yeah.
$25.
And we got spaghetti dinner.
And a spaghetti dinner.
They gave you some of the
That's
spaghetti.
True. That might have been better. You say maybe the Habanos was the worst thing.
For me, that was worse.
I think I've done worse.
Jesse, what was your best show then? Favorite show?
Best show? I don't know. I have a couple that were important to me,
mm-hmm.
that meant a lot to me. I'm not, you know... There was one actually at Winston's when I opened for Doug Stanhope. I got to go on right before Stanhope.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you'd say feature for him, whatever it was.
That's what they call it in the industry.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't even know what that was really.
Sure.
I was just trying to do my best and it went really well. And then I had one where I was hosting for Craig Gass at 4th and B downtown. It was like for, you know, 500 people or something.
Yeah.
It was a big moment for me as well.
What's your guys' like favorite? Like weird story to tell about a show that you did, like strange, weird, I don't know. Like I did Mark's show, like Mark Christopher Lawrence's show that he does at that gun range in El Cajon.
Oh wow.
Where you're literally on a gun range and they blow up these big pictures of you and make you the target. So you're standing
weird.
On this stage and then you sign the thing afterwards and people auction it off. But you're on, it's the strangest acoustic show and it's in El Cajon, which is like, I have one Walmart joke where I make fun of Walmart and they booed me. And, but then everything else they loved and like just shows like that I'm always interested in.
There's a lot of weird ones. I did one at Pure Platinum Strip Club once.
Oh, I did that show.
Yeah, were we on the same
thing? No, we did different weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't done that one.
There was like, there's literally two people in there and I was just coaxing them to go in the other room where there's naked women. Like, why are you here?
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird. There's a lot of weird ones, but
I see those to me like that's the memoir, right? Like paid and like the last the headline gig that I did at Haritna, which was 25 minutes, and there were three people in the crowd, and they were from a Dutch meetup group.
Wow!
And then we didn't really make any money in tips, so I walked home with a plate full of hummus. That's what I got paid in.
Some of the worst shows I've done, I've been paid for, and they were still the worst, and they still stand out as like. Being the most painful, like corporate gigs and stuff like that were so demoralizing to a comedian where you feel like such a failure and then they pay you kind of like, it feels like they're just like paying you to just go away. Like, here, take this money and leave and never come back. You know?
Yeah, the Tio Leo show, there was like a mariachi band after and they were just tuning the entire time.
Oh, that's what my worst show is. That reminds me of my worst show. It was at, It's called the Griffin now, but at the time it was called O'Connell's. And I believe it was Bob and I were supposed to go, and we were basically opening up for a rock band. It was like a pop punk kind of band. Tara's boyfriend at the time was in this band and wanted us to open for him. And there was no stage and no lights and all that stuff. But the worst part was they sound checked like right through us. We were on, like, we were basically tried to perform with a band standing behind us. And every time we get to like a punchline, you'd hear,
yes.
And it was the most embarrassing. It was in front of like all these hot chicks.
How much time did you do?
To see the band. It was like, you know, 10 minutes each maybe or more, but it felt like the longest, most painful.
Sure.
It was the most awful experience. And of course, not getting paid, not anything, but also to just leave and feel like such a loser compared to the band that were such winners, you know. They were like totally pulled in all this like glory of the, with their CD release or whatever. And he made us look like such asshole idiots.
Well, there was one time where the headliners at Winston's backed out like a couple days in advance. So I had to headline, which was whatever. I had to headline, but me and Kate Lee, or Kate Kerr, used to work in this thing at the Blarney Stone where she'd heckle me, and I would retort back, which worked at the Blarney Stone. But at this show at Winston's, because it's so big, she kept heckling me.
Yeah.
The crowd fucking hated her and then hated me because I couldn't figure it out. And I kept telling Kate to stop, but she didn't get
she
it.
That was part of the act.
That's what you deserve for planting a heckler on yourself.
It was so bad.
That's the worst thing ever.
That was pretty bad.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, that was...
You know what? You reap what you sow, though. You plant a heckler in the audience.
That's but we used to do it at Blarney Stone, and it worked.
Yeah.
But, oh, that was bad. And it was like this girl I just started dating who, like, I was really into, and she sees me just eat a bag of dicks.
Oh, it's the worst.
That was not fun.
I remember doing the Salty Frog once where I had to follow, like a half an hour of Ryan Shores or something, and there's, like, five people there, and they're, like, on their phones and just...
Dreamy.
It was so awful, and like I had just found out, like this gig that I passed up to do this. Like Vicky Barbalak asked me to do some paid thing somewhere, and I told her no because at the time I was like, I want to have integrity and not cancel on people. I find out later like Billy canceled on it to go do something else. I'm stuck down there at the Salty Frog, Imperial Beach, eating my ass on stage for five people that are on their phones and that hated me. At one point, the guy was like, you know, he wanted to kick my ass, I think, and. And I was so it was so bad.
This was your best show. This is your favorite show.
This is my best show ever. I was in such a bad mood, and I get off, and then Alison Gill goes up and like does great for like an hour of new song.
That's the worst.
And I had to watch her do well, and I was just like. And it, later she tells me, and I'm like, God, she's going for an hour. She tells me after later, she's like, I was just like performing for you, so I figured I'd keep going, and I was like. Oh, it was like salt in the wound that you kept going. Like, you kept doing well,
right,
you know?
There.
It was a salty frog,
salty
in, the wound.
Frog in the wound.
What about the Mark Schreiber show you did? That was
Oh, the Mark Schreiber show was the worst, too. Taste and Thirst downtown, where he called me right before the show. I'm supposed to headline. He calls me right before, and he tells me, they got no microphone, no mic stand, no mic cable. Can you bring that from Winston's? I can go to Winston's and get a mic and a mic stand and a mic cable.
That's a good start.
Bring them all the way downtown to him. I go there. He's hosting. He does 85,000 minutes between every comic, walking a couple audience members at each divide. Every time someone would leave,
Dreamy.
Mark Schreiber would go up and walk another two, three people until by the end of the show, he'd walked the entire audience except for like the two or three comics that were left. And then I had to go up and headline and eat my ass for 20 minutes or whatever in front of no one and then take my mic and mic stand.
You literally
walk
had
downtown
to take it home.
Like a idiot, like a hobo carrying his mic stand.
You take your
like,
ball and
I'm
go
a comedian.
Home.
And by the way, not get paid and just walk through downtown like the biggest loser ever.
That's why I say no. You have way more hell gigs than me because I just say no to people.
I know.
Convince yourself sometimes that you have to do that gig.
I would
right?
always
You're like,
say
oh, this
yes.
is going to make you me know, better.
The
I
first
have to
time,
do this.
I would always say yes. That was my rule. Like, first time venue, first time opportunity, say yes to it. And no matter what it is, and you know, because you never know. And if it's good, great. But they've all been bad.
That's why it was so hard to get you back at Spacebar a second time.
Oh my God.
You said yes the first time.
It was so rough.
What do you guys think about I mean, I know you guys talk about it on the podcast and the show and stuff with Renee and others who have done the LA scene, but like, is it to make it, to become a professional comedian? Do you have to go there? Can you do what Zoltan's doing? Or like, what are your plans with that? Like,
I think Zoltan proves that you don't have to go there, yeah. Although he lived there for a while and did that whole scene for a while. But off of festivals, hopefully he'll get some good stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, he won that Seattle
Festival. Is he still working the day job right now? Is that officially?
He works a day job, but yeah. I think he has a good flexible day job that allows him to tour and do other mm-hmm. things. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. I just watched Bob Hansen's new video. He's got I Don't Belong Here.
Yeah.
About his journey to New York.
I watched the trailer for it, but I didn't see the whole thing.
The trailer is really excellent, but the full video is like 30 minutes long or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, you know, an inside look at his experience anyway.
There. Yeah.
And I think it's tough. I think you just have to get lucky sometimes, you know, no matter what.
All the time you have to get lucky.
In life, you have to get lucky, but obviously the more things you do to have those opportunities. But I don't know if you have to be in L.A. I feel like if you go to L.A. and it doesn't work, it's demoralizing and takes the fun out of what should be fun.
Yeah.
And I like comedy to be fun, so I'm like, I don't know the answer, to be honest with you.
What do you mean? I mean, L.A. is if you want to do movies. San Diego has a better comedy scene than L.A. You know, if you just want to.
You're not going to get the exposure for your comedy in San Diego necessarily, though. There's no one who's going to watch your set and say, hey, that was good. Let's talk about putting you on late night. Or do you want to do this thing on VH1? Because there's actually people not looking for actors, but actually looking for comedians to do comedy in L.A. There's actual industry there that we don't have.
Well, you can always submit videos to industry people.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, a while back I sent a few agents my video and got two of them that responded. Mm-hmm. Nothing ended up coming out of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have a really good video, there's nothing that stops you from submitting to agents.
Yeah, no, I guess that's fair. Because, I mean, I've gotten stuff out of town, like at other shows or like at other clubs out of town, and I didn't have to be there or even grind their mic or anything like that. It's just, the right show, the right video.
It probably depends on what you're looking for. I think Lauren gets a lot of corporate gigs back here in San Diego and things where there's a bigger, wide open market for that kind of thing.
I've noticed sometimes actually on that, like sometimes the fact that you're not from that city helps. Like the couple of times shows that I've only done 3 or 4 shows up in LA, but they've been pretty good shows. And people were intrigued because they didn't know who I was. They didn't have like a predisposition of, oh, that guy does that, and I've seen him do that, or I've seen him bomb here.
Right. They talk about that in Bob's video, too, about, like, people that started in New York. They know you from when you were terrible.
Sure.
When you used to stink and do all the open mics, so they hold that against you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Same with L.A. It's like they saw that you were terrible. They kind of made their judgment about you. It might be better going there when you really can nail it, you know?
I mean, main reason I might move to New York is to be closer to my family.
Okay.
That's why I have no interest in going to L.A., you know, because there's no reason. I mean, you see, most of the guys that moved up there, they're coming back here.
Quite a bit,
where you're getting money.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get different things up there if they're good. But, I mean, out of the people that have come from the Comedy Store and moved and worked to the Comedy Store up there, none of them are regulars.
Yeah.
You know, are paid regulars getting sent down here.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a bad stigma.
Right. And, like, I think like Kyle Ray, I saw him tonight at the store in La Jolla, and he was talking about, because I see him online and stuff, opening for Trevino. Trevino's like the only person, he said, that basically took him on tour with him, like him and Jesus Trejo. They took him, they travel together sometimes. I think some of that came because Trevino would come to the store in La Jolla and knew Kyle from that.
Mm.
I don't think it's necessarily from the Hollywood store so much, although he is at the Hollywood store now, but in any case, I think when you meet the guys here and they're nice to you and vice versa.
I mean, does that even happen anymore? I mean, you're a micer and you get passed and now you're like, cause I'm the couple shows that I've done up there. Like I remember the Ice House show that I did. I was talking to one of the girls. She's like, oh, well, yeah, I got passed at the factory, but I can't get time at the factory. You know, like that doesn't mean anything.
To make this locally, like, how many people are passed at the Madhouse?
Yes.
I think those clubs want to pass people so those comics don't go to other places.
Mm.
You know, because the Comedy Store down here isn't as prestigious as it used to be.
Mm.
Getting in there is not a big deal. Mm. But everybody at the Madhouse that's passed, it's like, well, why am I going to go slum it up at the Comedy Store? I'm already passed at the Madhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But how often are you getting spots at the Madhouse? Because everyone's passed.
Yeah.
It seems like, anyways. So yeah. I think that's what they do up there, too. They want to say, well, I'm a regular at the Laugh Factory. I don't get time, you know, but I'm a regular here.
Yeah.
So you can brag, which gives the name, the club exposure.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the same time, you're not trying to get at the... Because everyone wants to say, I discovered this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if they say that they're a Laugh Factory person, you know, that's always going to be tied with them if they ever get a, you know, a show or anything like that.
Yeah, they can say, so-and-so got started here.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I think like I said earlier, the one difference that I see in the LA is there is a reality of it could just happen. The right person could see you. You could get a late night thing and it could continue. Cause I mean, that happens there with guys that we see, like our best down here, like Zoltan is not, TV's not going to be his route. He's getting exposure through festivals and he's going to the, you know, he's grinding at all the, like he's essentially committing to the life of a road comic, right?
Yeah.
And that's a longer, harder route, it seems, than, but
it's
I don't know.
I think becoming a better comedian though, that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So in the long run, he's going to be a great comic. I mean, he is a great comic, you know?
That's Zoltan. He's got a bright future. He's going to turn
He's going to be all right.
He's going to turn into something. I see a bright future.
One of these days.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I don't think there's any right answer though, because you say up there is the reality of someone could see you. There's a reality that could happen here, too.
They could see you on YouTube, for crying out loud. They watch me on Hulu, you know what I mean? I'm waiting for that to come through.
Well,
where's my Hulu break, baby?
Well, I think that there's, like, we are, like, in the midst of, like, an industry change. I mean, even a lot of these SNL guys, like, some of the new cast guys, it used to be that you only got on if you were through the UCB or the Groundlings and stuff like that. Some of the guys getting on SNL now have none of that. They got popular through YouTube videos that they were doing themselves, you know? And so I guess there is a reality to the fact that through YouTube or through other gigs or like you already have a following through that way, I guess.
Right.
There are other routes to become professional comedians and maybe have success in the club.
I mean, look, for example, I mean, it's a while back, but the way Dan Cook made it.
Yeah.
All social media, you know, and he was the first that did that.
Yeah.
But I think it could still happen.
Yeah. And that's what you're trying to do with your Twitter handle, right? You're blowing up on the Twitter.
I tweet a lot.
On the Twitter. Jobless, at jobless comedian? Is that correct?
At spacebar.
At spacebar, at jobless comedian. Checks in on Foursquare, at spacebar.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't tweet.
Not a big tweeter.
Not a big tweeter.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Dustin Nickerson.
Nice.
Not at Jesse _
Son.
Listen.
Yes, he's on.
It's not a real Twitter handle unless you put a stupid underscore.
Oh,
in there.
Is that how it is? I'm gonna go back to Chopping Broccoli 1.
So it's pretty much Jesse _ from San Diego.
That's amazing.
At HowardSternShow.com.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's. Well, I can see why people.
I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think this was a good conversation and. Was terrific having you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure.
Good to know you. And any shout-outs you want to give out there to anyone in the internet world that's listening?
What in the world?
Any?
Do the shows normally end with shout-outs?
We do a lot of shout-outs.
Yeah.
What about a song that we can play at the beginning for you?
Oh, you pick whatever you think fits me.
I got one.
Maybe nothing but a G
He's
thing.
He's got one already.
I got it. Don't you worry.
Hallelujah.
I don't know. All right, well, Brandon.
Brandon Young, the quarters are coming in.
Man, he's making a killing.
Final B Young. Well,
275.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
And we'll have to have you back.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, so check him out at the Clean Festival at Comedy Stuff.
.org.
Great day.
Comics Talk Comedy, Jeff Goodall, Jesse Egan, Dustin Nickerson. Good night.
Thanks, man.
My lady, she went downtown. She bought some broccoli. She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. She chop and broccoli.
This has been a Point and Yell production. Yeah, I think the words, but sometimes they don't come out of my mouth no good.